me. Every time I touch that track, it turns into gold. Everybody knows I got the magic. WGN Radio. This is Michael Heidemann and John Hansen. In for Patty Vasquez tonight. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to everybody who's listening right now. Casera is on the our producer tonight. Merry Christmas to you.
She's jamming. That was a great song, Casera.
I love that.
Thank you.
That got me going.
Oh, I'm glad. Thank you
I'm
so
pretty
much.
Tired, but that one got me going. We did Family Christmas tonight because I have two brothers that are firefighters. So it's really hard to find a time to do a Family Christmas. So I already got all my gifts. I got everything.
Everything.
Wow. My gifts. Got all my gifts. It's all done.
You're great.
My Christmas is over. Well, I mean, like, spending time with the family. We're still doing like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day with extended family. But I got these really great shoes, and I'm so excited to be showing them off.
Yeah.
You can't see them on the radio, but I'm really excited about them.
If I could describe them, they're majestical.
They are
magic shoes.
Yeah, they're really cool. Hey, I got a funny story to start off with.
Okay.
If you'll indulge me.
Yes, of course.
So I had this moment. So you know, like, we talked about annoying Christmas songs in 312-917-8200 because we barely talked about it at the end of the last show we did last week, and then we got 1,000 texts. So whatever your least favorite Christmas song is, whatever, we can share some of those again. So, you know the song, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus?
Yes.
So I always just thought that was like a really strange song. Like, I Saw Mommy.
It is. It's weird. It doesn't really stand the test of time nowadays, I suppose.
Yeah, I just thought it was strange, that it was different. I just figured it out. That it's, the dad is Santa Claus. I Saw Mommy Kissing Dad. Like, that's the joke.
You just figured this out.
Today.
Hundreds of thousands of times
yes.
You've heard this song.
And I always just was like, that's so weird. She's kissing this random stranger, and her kid comes upon this. And now I get that it's because she's kissing her husband.
Yes.
Or her boyfriend, or live-in boy. I don't know. But that's...
What was the point in the song that she finally figured this out?
I don't know which version I was listening to, but I was like, I think it was, did Jackson 5 do a version, maybe?
Yes.
It's Michael, and he says, I'm going to tell Daddy that you were kissing Santa Claus. And I'm like, oh, I get it. Daddy is Santa Claus.
It all comes together.
And I don't know, I probably sung that song in choirs and things and just to myself. I don't like the song. I cannot believe how dumb I am that I did not know that the implication was that not that she was cheating on her husband with Santa Claus. I really thought that's what it was.
So you thought it was purely infidelity happening during Christmas time.
Yes.
Families being torn apart at the seams by this man in a red suit.
Yes. And I was like, why are we being so joyful about this? And now I get it. It's mom kissing dad.
Yes, yes.
So that's cute. So I had a new appreciation for the song. I actually heard it then again because the other radio station that plays these things, I only had to wait 3 more hours to hear the song again. So on my way back here from my family gathering, I had a new appreciation and fondness for the song that I used to hate. And it was really cute. I was like, oh. Because it's mommy kissing daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you, and also, are you figuring out just now that the reindeer did in fact run over grandma?
That's also another one that's really quirky.
You know, there aren't enough quirky songs, actually, if you think about it. Like, you have the Baby It's Cold Outside, which is kind of a fun,
oh, that's
playful.
Not good.
Yeah, now it's not good. For years, it's still...
I don't know how that was ever okay, that song.
No.
I think I was like a woke 4-year-old being like, this is weird. He probably should stop telling her she has to stay and, like, begging her to stay for another drink or whatever.
Yeah, begging. And then there's something in this drink. I'm guessing it was just, like, a shot of whiskey or whatever. In my mind.
She talks about having to go home to her parents, and she must be, like, a teenager, and he's, like, putting something in her drink. It's crazy.
That's a good point. Oh, man.
It's not a good song. I mean, it's got a good tune to it. This is Reindeer. This is Grandma Reindeer, yeah.
See, I hope there's no nefarious reasons behind this song. This is a great song.
You like this one? Now? I can do without it. I thought I could do without Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, but once I figured out the truth of the song.
So, you know, a funny story about this song, in fact. When I was... So we have a family Christmas party every year at my Aunt Colleen's, and it's great. The whole family gets together on the Doherty side of my family, and which is my mom's side. And a few years ago, I mean, it's sad to think about now, but my grandma had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, my cousin and I, Patrick, and I, we both played guitar. So it was kind of a thing that we were trying to start where we would lead songs for the family. And we'd all like to have a sing-along before Santa came, and we'd share some gifts.
Sounds
anyway,
horrible, but go on.
Anyway, just like 3 years after she had passed, we were very, very timid about playing that song, and still to this day, I don't know, we couldn't really play it.
She didn't get run over by a reindeer,
no,
she didn't
get run over by a reindeer.
Or run over
she
by any animal, like elk or anything?
She had a very beautiful, 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 wonderful life. And the thing was, there's all these... Even through novelty songs, there's something about Christmas songs that really hits home, I think, that you relate it to your family and you relate it to people mm-hmm. around you.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm just saying that we can't really play that song when it comes to the Christmas sing-alongs anymore.
Yes, you can! My grandmas have been dead for years and I sing that song over and over again.
With joyful glee, I'm
yes,
sure.
Because they didn't get run over by reindeers. Now, if she had, that'd be a different thing. 815 texted in, I'm 79, mm-hmm. and I always knew that mommy was kissing her hubby. Yeah, no, I get that I'm the only one that didn't figure this out. I'm 33 and just figured this out.
The world's colliding right now. I want to know if that 79-year-old from the 815, when did you find out, though? When did you...
She said she always knew.
Oh, always knew.
She always knew that mommy was kissing her hubby.
Because, sir, could you find out when that song even was wrote?
When it was written?
Yeah.
Because, sir, I mean, you know that's mommy and daddy kissing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I caught on when I was, like, maybe 15.
Okay, that's still not good for my sake.
Yeah, definitely not.
I'm a grown adult.
I just
figured it out.
All right. That's okay. Well, let's take a quick break. Yep. Let's figure out some more life-changing events. It could be from Christmas songs or whatever.
414 says, how stupid can you be regarding the song? Unbelievable.
Harsh.
Are hosting a show on a great radio station. Yeah. See, here's the thing about radio is I'm admitting and something that I was stupid about. I'm opening my soul to you, mm-hmm. and you just crush it like that. Thanks, 414.
You're being okay. genuine, and you know what? 414.
Where is 414 anyways?
Give us a break. I think that's Wisconsin.
Oh, well, that makes sense then. I love Wisconsin, it is.
You know what I want to know from our listeners? Are there any other great novelty songs that maybe we're missing? Because I want this to bring back, because there's nothing better than a good old-fashioned Christmas song, but I feel like it's been years since there's been a staple. Not since 1994, Mariah Carey's, I can't even think of that song title right
All
now.
I Want for Christmas.
All I Want for Christmas is You.
Yeah.
1994, it came out. Yeah. Where is the next greatest Christmas song?
I don't know.
What? I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus was released in 1953. It doesn't say when it was written, though.
So she figured it out right away, the
1953?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure.
So then that was like 50 or 62 years? No, whatever.
64. Quick 64 math, nice job.
Math isn't my strong suit. Songs are. So give us a call, 312-981-7200. Let's take this call right after our break. Let's hit this break real quick. This is Michael and John Hansen here on WGN. There we go, John.
This is the one. I had a couple texts. 224 says, don't feel so bad. We had to explain mommy kissing Santa Claus to my 6-year-old grandson. That doesn't make me feel any better, as a matter of fact. In fact, worse. In case you're just joining us, obviously Patty's off tonight. Michael Heidemann and myself, John Hansen, filling in.
Mm-hmm.
I just figured out today that mommy is not cheating on her husband, that the husband is clearly Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Portraying Santa Claus that evening.
I feel like you should have picked up on that a little bit longer ago. So.
Oh, much longer ago. Mm-hmm, for sure. I think Catherine is going to let us know some stuff, too, because I know that other people, I don't know if other people have had this before or had any other issues with it before, but I think... What are you doing? Are you hanging up on people?
No, I'm not. She's on.
Okay, sorry.
What's going on, Catherine?
Hi.
Hey.
Yes, I just wanted to add that this has it must have been 35 to 40 years ago when we actually sang that song all the time. And I was at my sister's home baking cookies with their 6-year-old daughter. And I burst into, I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. And my 6-year-old niece, her eyes got real big. She came running up to me and put her hands over my mouth and said, don't let daddy hear that. It was a real story, and I just thought I'd pass it on to you.
Did you explain it to her what was going on then?
No, I don't think I did. I was so shocked.
So maybe she's like me. She's been wandering through life concerned about infidelity.
Very, very well maybe that it was just... a shock to me because I just took it for granted.
Yes, yes.
Catherine, that is so great. That is. Yes. It's so funny because when you're a kid, that you don't really pick up on that kind of stuff.
Oh, she got after me.
Yeah.
She didn't want her daddy to hear that.
No, no. Neither did Michael Jackson. So, and that's how I kind of figured it out.
Okay.
Catherine, thank you so much for the call. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
720 WGN, we're chatting about my unknowledge of Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. And other quirky songs out there. I know there's a lot of them here on Christmas. And I don't know. We hear these songs over and over and over again. And there's got to be songs out there that people just never, ever want to hear anymore. One more time. And they'll just, I don't know, throw their radio in the garbage. 312-981-7200.
Have you ever heard the song Santa Mambo? This is a song we played last night on Patty's show where we had a piano player who took requests. And he played a song that it was probably one of the greatest Christmas songs that I've ever heard. And I've only heard it for one time last night.
Santa Mambo.
Because, Sarah, if you can find this gem, I'd love to hear it. But from the 312, we have got a lot of texts rolling through. See if you can find the old comedy album, The Garbage Collector in Beverly Hills, with a selection titled Department Store Santa Claus.
Hmm.
Now, is this a song? Or?
I don't know. I never heard of that at all. Is this it?
Is this Santa Mambo?
Oh, Santa Mambo, okay.
Now, immediately, you get into it.
I like this.
Santa's gonna do the mambo.
That's awesome.
I mean, right?
That's fun. That's right? A quirky one. Apparently, Mixed Nuts by Dr. John. Apparently, that's a love, great song. I don't know. No. Mixed Nuts. I imagine that's a Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to look that one up. So, yeah, I would love if there was just a little bit more variety in the Christmas music, like you're saying. So I'll have to listen. That's a 1994 song, Mixed Nuts by Dr. John.
And now, is this true, John? From the 708, from Tom, WGN's own Orion Samuelson did a Christmas novelty song, I Go Nuts at Xmas.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put it past Big O
now,
to have done that at some point.
If there's a WGN album out there somewhere, or does somebody knows where we can find this song, we would love to
right.
hear this song as well.
Right. 773 says, I'm tired of jingle bells, and of course the sub-lyrics,
mm-hmm.
the alternative lyrics that kids sing after jingle bells, so Batman smells and Robin laid an egg, and they're confused about how Robin laid an egg. I think it's a play on the fact that Robin is the name of a bird.
Obviously, yes. It's
I never thought about it till right now either. I assume that's what it is. Or like maybe it's like when you do something bad at work, or when you go out in sports, they say you lay an egg. Like if you pitched a terrible game. So maybe when he was fighting a criminal, he did it so poorly he laid an egg.
And not to dive too deep into this classic song, but if you think about it, the Batmobile did lose its wheel, and then Joker got away. Why are those songs? Like, I want to know where the origin of that song kind of came from.
Mm-hmm.
Because have you ever had a song where you heard it just once on the playground and then it never left your head for your entire life?
For sure. No, there's a couple other ones out there. I also want to know, like, the interjections in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Like, who started those? Like a light bulb and all that stuff. I don't think that was part of the original song.
No, and I'm guessing,
but I can't sing it without that now.
Without the internet, too. All of these songs came to be without any kind of social media that was spread around. It was just purely through just storytelling and everything. Do we have any more texts?
773, how about when Alvin and the Chipmunks wanted a hula hoop? Me, I want a hula hoop. I mean, yeah, that is so strange.
Well, that was a really good impression.
That was the 70s. Everyone was stoned. I'm sure that's how they came up with Alvin wanting a hula hoop.
It's so true. It's so true. And that's why Christmas is just the best time. Because like we mentioned on our last show when we were on it last week, it's not even about the words or what's going on. It's about the vibe, and it's there to make you happy. And that's why Christmas music is so relatable all the time.
Christmas Baby and Baby It Is Cold Outside, we got a text about those. Is never want to hear those. Either not want to hear those again, or that they're creepy, which is true. Also, the 302 says, don't want to hear All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth Again.
That's
a terrible one.
It is terrible. You know what? The saddest part? I was born 2 days after Christmas when I was young. Both my two front teeth were knocked out. I needed to hear that song for an entire 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it was hard.
608 says, Little Drummer Boy wants me to stab my eardrums, especially when they have high-pitched kids singing it.
A bit extreme.
I agree. Extreme. Little Drummer Boy can do without. And I agree. Anytime there are children singing, it's piercing. So
do we have one more?
We have an answer from the 703. The song The Robin Laid an Egg came from the first season of Batman, the animated series episode called Christmas with the Joker.
We're going to have to dive into that one. Yeah.
There's a lot to dive into.
As always, Christmas songs ignite a fury of text messages. Keep them coming. We're going to be kidding these throughout the night.
Mm-hmm.
Call us 312-981-7200.
Wow, Pete, I have to say your balls are so tender.
Well, there's no beating my balls. They're made from a secret sweaty family recipe. No one can resist my sweaty balls.
Nothing like a sweaty ball.
Sweaty balls.
Good times.
Good times.
I had to get the good times in there, of course. That is the infamous sketch from SNL, now almost, 20 years ago that sketch aired. And Alec Baldwin, Anna Gasteyer, and Molly Shannon, of course, with Sweaty Balls. And that's like 4 minutes into the sketch, too. The reference of the Sweaty Ball, I just kicked something. And the reference, you know, takes so much time. You can hear the audience laugh because they know that joke is still coming, but it pays off. Why are we talking about sweaty balls at favorite
sketch? Yes,
why are we, John? I don't know. Just thought I'd bring it up. No. I'm going to mess this up. Justin Kolofsek? Did I get it?
You got it.
I got it. You got his mic on there, Mike? So Justin Kolofsek from the Museum of Broadcast Communications and the amazing SNL exhibit. Both Mike and I have been there. It's incredible. And you guys are throwing a sweaty ball next week, right?
We are. It's going to be the first ever sweaty ball, at least that we know of.
Right.
Least,
and by the way, when we say sweaty, mm-hmm. it's a proper noun.
Yeah, it's
Alec Baldwin's
name.
Character was Sweaty, S-C-H-W-E-D-D-Y.
Pete Sweaty.
So we're not breaking any rules. No one needs to call the FCC for this. SNL clearly did it. So what is going to be happening at the Sweaty Ball?
Yep, so it is December 30th, so it's an eve of the eve, so it's, you know, for the non-amateur hour people.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, from 8 to midnight, going to have a great party. Going to be at the museum. People mm-hmm. will be able to see the exhibit, go through the entire thing, but also then up on our fourth floor, our event space will actually be able to, we have live band karaoke going on.
Oh, really?
We have lots of fun, good food, good drink. It's going to be a great time. And again, it'll be another opportunity for people to see the exhibit.
How'd you guys come up with the idea and the name? Like, did it just like click in some meeting or what? I mean, how did that come about?
A favorite like clip or something like that of all time?
It really, I couldn't tell you exactly.
Uh-huh.
It really just kind of, it started as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, no, let's really do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're really looking forward to it. We've got, the Billy Goat is doing cheeseburgers for us.
Mm, of course, cheeseburger.
We've got, just it's
sweaty
gonna
balls
be a great
are
time.
Served there, I assume.
That is true.
So okay. what encompasses a sweaty ball? Like, yeah. Is it? Are we talking meatballs? Are we talking what?
So, Blue Plate Catering is doing some wonderful hors d'oeuvres and apps for us that will be different types of balls.
Mm-hmm.
But then also we do have Goody's popcorn that's also providing a variety of sweaty balls as well, different kinds of popcorn balls.
That's wonderful.
So, it's going to be a good time. We still have some tickets left. So
yeah, how much are they?
75.
That's reasonable.
75. It's apps, drinks, good time. Again, live band karaoke, and you get to see the exhibit.
How is everything going with the exhibit so far? Because as I said, I got a chance to go and remind people where the address is when you get a chance to answer after I'm done with this long-winding question. But I was really blown away. I didn't know what to expect. You know, you sometimes you build up exhibits in your mind and you go there and it's a little underwhelming. I'm not saying at that museum, but any museum. But man, I was really impressed. Have you guys seen? Mm-hmm. It got a lot of positive feedback since it opened?
I've only received positive feedback.
Yeah.
Even when I've asked for, hey, what do you think we could improve upon? It's absolutely, everyone's loving it as they go through. It's at the Museum of Broadcast, which is 360 North State and Kinsey. And, you know, the exhibit takes you through the Monday through Saturday creative process of the show. So Mark Locke, the creator of the exhibit, he actually, when designing it, he said, are we doing this by era? Or how are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. And sure enough, something that a lot of people don't realize is the show starts blank canvas Monday morning.
Yeah.
And on Saturday,
it's a full show.
It's ready to go.
Yeah.
It's actually, it doesn't matter if it's ready or not. Right. It's going to happen.
So, yeah.
That's actually one of Lorne Michaels' quotes. I'm going to butcher it, but it's literally something along the lines of, you know, we don't start the show at 11:30 because we're ready. We start the show because it's 11:30.
Yeah. I really was blown away. And, you know, it's interesting because I don't watch SNL as much as I used to, admittedly. Mm-hmm. But I loved it in high school. I think everyone goes through that phase where it's like their big thing in high school, college, that sort of years of their life. Some people watch every single episode and have for decades. But it's amazing when you start looking at the costumes that are there, that how many SNL characters really, even if you don't watch the show religiously, enter our public consciousness so deeply. I mean, like, I knew, you know, Church Lady, you know the costume there. Matt Foley, you know the costume there. You know, I mean, when you go there, even if you haven't watched every single episode of SNL, you're going to go there and be impressed.
Absolutely. As people walk through, they go, I had no idea that they would still have some of these costumes.
Right?
I mean, yeah. Whether it be the Killer Bee costumes, whether it be Matt Foley, the Coneheads, the original Coneheads are there. And not only the costumes, but also all the prosthetics and that are used as well on the show, and the wigs and everything.
I was going to say, you know what I really enjoyed was seeing how they had those fake commercials, the parody commercials all the time, and they had every single bit of the props they used from just the premises and everything. I think they had some of them are the only ones that I can think of are
really
all
inappropriate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's
super
really cool.
Basomatic.
That's
one.
Bag of glass. That one's so good. I also really liked, I don't know if it was from the first person who designed the set and the studio, how it was going to look, but it's like a little model of the way it looks and how it's set up. Because if you've never been into the studio, you don't know exactly how the layout of it all is, which is really impressive. So, what are the hours? When can people go? Can they walk up and be able to go there? Should they get tickets ahead of time? How does that work?
Absolutely. You can get tickets ahead of time if you want to skip the line. Otherwise, we are open Tuesday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. Check the website museum.tv for different hours, different days. But it's 25 for adults, 20 for students and seniors, and kids under 12 are free. So, you know, it's a family of four to come. It's relatively, you know, reasonable. And people, again, all ages are coming and loving it.
I also really like I'm excited to see the performance space all done up and everything, or the upper floor of it, because describe for people, if they haven't seen it yet, what that space is like, because it's really got some cool stuff along the walls and up at the stage, too.
Yeah, so you start the exhibit on the second floor, and then you take an elevator up to the fourth floor, which is now Studio 8H. And so you actually walk through first, backstage, you go through the control room, where you actually hear Don Roy King, the director, call the show, and then you walk just as if you're going to the studio, under the scaffolding and everything, and then you actually sit down at a full replica to spec of the stage. Tina Fey hosts the show. She recorded the show specifically for the exhibit. A lot of fun, and then you also get to see kind of the best of 40 plus years.
Yeah, so everything from the thank you notes from the guests, which I found very interesting, to the shark and the stairs.
Oh yeah,
it's just so neat to see that happening. And a lot of the set and everything came from people who actually worked there at one time for SNL too. So they fly these guys in and they just kind of looked at the space and said, no, this needs to go here. No, the shark costume needs to be at least 5 feet away from the stairs at one point.
So Mark Locke, the creator, he actually kind of walked around and said, this is where things are going to go. Again, the show was already in New York once already. But then again, we're in a new space.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to configure things a little differently. But, you know, I think one of the big things that people take away from this is they have a lot of fun when they come to the exhibit, but they also learn a lot. People walk away and they say, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that all of this was happening. So, again, a great opportunity to come to, you know, Saturday Night Live, the experience, but also on December 30th, come to the Sweaty Ball.
How much giggling will be happening the night of the Sweaty Ball?
I hope the entire night. That's all you hear.
And so,
that and live band karaoke.
And when you hear ball, obviously when you hear it's a Sweaty Ball, you know that there's got to be a catch. What should people wear to the Sweaty Ball?
We are telling people to either dress as your favorite SNL character or as part of the delicious dish, you know, whether it be Pete Sweaty or Anna or Molly, one of their characters, ugly Christmas sweaters as well. So just kind of having fun. This is not a formal event. This is an eve of the eve, and let's you know, celebrate 2017 and ring in 2018.
Do you want to reveal what you're going to be wearing, or you want to keep it a secret for that night?
It'll be a secret.
Okay, it'll be a secret. I've been trying to think. I've been trying to think for a while of what I could be wearing for that night. I think Matt Foley is a really good one to go to, but I got, you know, some SNL characters, you know, they it's not the costume that makes them distinctive, it's their mannerisms. So would it be okay if I dress the part but also act the part the whole night?
100%. Okay. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, I don't think my date will appreciate it, that any bit. Remind people one more time where they can find the information.
Yep, so you can get tickets at sweatyball.com. And tickets are $75. It's December 30th from 8 to midnight.
And if you're going to Google that, make sure your safe search is on. That's all.
Absolutely.
I'm going to
Private
Absolutely.
Browsing incognito.
Justin, thanks so much for joining us and for bringing the swag, too. We really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
All right, we're going to talk more stuff. We got a lot of more songs coming in, songs that people never want to hear again.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, and also if you have any SNL memories or anything like that, too, I'd love to hear those. Because, I mean, John, maybe after the break we should talk about what our favorite episodes of SNL were.
I've got a bunch of them for you. We'll chat about that after the break. You're listening to 720 WGN.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
This song.
This, another good one.
No. Do you like this one? No.
You know, the more that I hear it,
it's just terrible. I'm sorry. I know people like that. I think a texter actually requested that, so I shouldn't poo-poo all over it. But what does that song even mean? I mean, it's pretty clear what it means.
Of all the gifts in the world, you're going to go for the hippopotamus?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
Do they not know how dangerous that animal is? I think that's the number one most murderous animal in all of Africa. So.
Yeah, for sure. Or the water buffalo, perhaps, too. Simply Having a Wonderful Time, Paul McCartney. That's another song someone would like to get rid of forever.
Okay, I agree with that song, though, because, like I mentioned in our last show, the kind of chimey xylophone keyboard part does not stand the test of time. Yeah. I think that should be laid to rest.
Yeah, so 312-91-7200. By the way, Patty is out tonight. It is Michael Heidemann and myself, John Hansen, filling in. We're also joined right now by Jerry Nunn, entertainment journalist, nunnontherun.com. You want to pot up his old little... You already got it? Look at that. Michael's on the board tonight, Jerry. He walked in, and he was like, I'm going to run the board tonight, John. I was like, okay, I get it. I've stepped off.
Yes.
Oh, look at this, Michael. Do you have it?
Am I on?
No.
There you're on.
Yes.
Man, you went into that so confident, too.
You switched it on me, Jerry.
Anyways. Where was I supposed to sit? Is it like musical chairs in here? In the
obviously at mic number four.
We don't even know which mics work. We don't even know. It doesn't matter.
I don't know what number I'm at.
So, Jerry, we were talking about SNL stuff with the folks from the SNL. Have you seen that exhibit, by the way?
I didn't pop in yet. No, I need
to. You need to go see it. It's really...
Somebody gave me a coupon, though, and I was like, well, thanks.
Wait, they didn't go to opening this.
Like just a stranger on the street? Or?
From someone in my office, like, slid them on my desk, like at the Tribune, like while I'm working.
Uh-huh.
And I missed the opening, because I remember the big opening night.
Yeah, yeah.
And a bunch of people didn't like... Who came? A bunch of people came.
Yeah, so Chris Redd came from SNL, who's a current cast member. Alex Bauer, I think his name is. I want to say.
My friend Nora Dunn.
Nora Dunn was, yes. Nora
I've interviewed her many times because Nora Dunn, none on Dunn.
Right. No, that's right there. It works like there, yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
Mm-hmm.
She reaches out to you for that interview.
Yeah, we're Facebook friends. I mean, we're very close.
Are you Facebook friends with a lot of people you've interviewed?
Celebrities?
Yeah.
Sometimes I keep up with them.
Yeah.
Meredith Baxter Burney.
Wow.
Right. Oh, Mario from Sex and the City.
Do you make a point to... Do you like all of their posts, like, aggressively, or...
Oh, gosh.
Ever message them or anything like that?
You're really throwing me under the bus, because, no, I really don't actually follow them. they, you know... But Mario wishes me happy birthday every year, which is coming up in a couple of
Really?
Which always makes me happy. People are like, what? says happy birthday to you. I'm like,
is that the only one you comment on? Like, the rest of your friends and family, you're like, whatever, they have to
like,
do it.
Yeah, I had a little quick like.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, a few, I mean, I do try to stay in touch with. Some Broadway stars.
Well, when is your birthday so we can all message on
Oh, January 16th.
Okay.
You know, 16th? It's right like by Martin Luther King's birthday. And yeah. So we all celebrate, you know, have a big holiday.
Celebrate together. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Jerry, we were talking about favorite like SNL sketches. Do you have one from years past? Like if you were to go to the Sweaty Ball next week, what
I would love the Sweeney Sisters.
Yes.
The Christmas one, which goes along with, you know, all the bells, you know.
Yes.
William Shatner and all that. Right. That's my favorite.
That was a little bit before my time, I think.
Way to throw him under the bus.
I'm not
throwing
anybody under the bus. Cool. I love SNL.
Have you heard of YouTube? YouTube has got some great videos you need to brush up on.
Yeah, you can see things in the past.
Yeah.
Speaking of the past, from the 708, we have the show hosted by Richard Pryor on SNL, which was legendary, to be honest.
That wasn't before your time?
I know, that's so recent.
Like, what are you doing, Mike?
Yeah.
Mike,
why make us feel old? And then you're like,
just.
I know that show, yeah, for sure. George Carlin, Michael knows that show front to back.
Right.
But yeah.
I know that the Muppets were on the SNL at one time, too. They had a contract. I'm just digging my hole deeper and deeper.
So what's your favorite SNL character?
So a favorite character there, you know, when I was going back when I was young and in high school, I would record the SNL on my tiny little TV in my bedroom, and I needed to press play and record
on the VHS,
and it was connected to the TV. And I remember the greatest moment would be when I'd hit it perfectly and miss all the commercials. And seamlessly edit it for it to get back into the show. So I do that with every SNL episode.
Popular. That's what you're doing your Saturday nights?
Yeah, you're ahead of your time.
Timing that pause button right there.
And now I finally was able to run the board. It finally all paid off.
You couldn't even turn on Jerry's mic, so let's not do that part.
Whoa!
So what's your favorite, then?
So I remember watching, as a young lad, in the early 1970s, I'm just joking, it was in the 90s, when I saw Christopher Walken do that cowbell sketch.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew from the moment that I saw that was my favorite sketch. It was something just about it and the way he talked, and it was one of the greatest characters of all time. I put on my pants the way everyone else does, one leg at a time, but when I do put on those pants, I make gold records. What does that mean? one of the greatest lines of all time. So that was my favorite. What about you, John?
My favorite character or actress on the show was Chris Farley. Anytime he did anything, by the way, it just was the 20th anniversary of his death just a couple days ago, December 18th, which is crazy to me that it's been 20 years since Chris Farley passed. And Matt Foley just killed me every single time, Man Down by a River. Anything Chris Farley did was gold.
Sure.
But the one character I really loved, Sherry O'Terry, and she did. And there was just the stupidest sketch where she would say, simmer down now, Samadonna, Samadonna. And that was the entire joke.
Simmer down now.
I just loved it.
She pulled out the Donna Summer record.
Right.
Some Madonna.
There was also this absurd sketch. I don't know if it actually ever made a show, or maybe it was a dress rehearsal, and I happened to see it on like a cut edition or like on one of the DVDs that I had. But it was Will Ferrell yelling at kids to get off the shed. Have you seen this sketch? Just like it starts with just a married couple. They're on the back. They're like, hey, kids, can you get off the shed? Let's get off the shed. And the sketch progresses, and slowly but surely, Will Ferrell starts to go completely out of his mind that his kids won't get off the shed. That's the entire sketch.
If I recall correctly, he's like flipping burgers for a barbecue.
Hey, buddy, can you get down off the shed? Get off the shed! That's the sort of stuff that absurd, makes no sense sort of stuff that I always liked and really stands out to me.
So a little.
That's what I'll go into the Sweaty Ball. I'll just scream at people to get off the shed.
Well, I feel like you're doing that a little bit now on the show tonight. A little bit of trivia on that. That was actually what he used as one of his bits to what do you call it?
Audition for
the show.
Yeah. I think we've seen the same DVD. Yeah, I think that's
you know
I
what
got it, yeah.
for years and years there was that I think it was the 20th anniversary DVD that was or VHS
the double VHS one,
and I watched that over and over again because at the
time, you already had them all taped. Why'd you buy the official one? You had your own bootleg copies of this.
What about the Roseanne? Did you guys remember the Roseanne one where she was like misery?
No.
She did, like, a Misery impersonation.
I don't remember that.
And they did the one with Madonna and Mike Myers, and they were...
Yes!
Yeah, that one was funny.
Coffee Talk.
The Coffee Talk one was really funny.
Like a big stick of butter.
Yes. Yes. That was a classic one. I could watch those over and over and over.
It was probably on the same VHS that we had.
It was on the VHS. It was. That's why I brought it up, because there's a Roseanne tape out there.
Yeah.
Of all Roseanne.
Let's find a VHS player somewhere and connect it to the television and just relive old memories. So 312-91-7200, text us your favorite SNL sketch as we're all getting ready for the Sweaty Ball next week. Mm-hmm. And any old annoying Christmas songs. And what do we got coming up, by the way, before we go to the news? You've got a big tease for us all, Michael.
Yes. So one of the most popular movies from the 80s and now coming to Chicago, Revenge of the Nerds. Don Oker Gibb will be joining us. He's hosting a New Year's Eve celebration at Trader Todd's here in Lakeview. Couldn't be more excited to have him on. He'll be joining us at midnight.
That'll be fun. And Jerry, you're going to stick around, right?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, another good one, Cassara. Rocking a girl.
Well, she is a DJ.
That's so true.
I mean, this is right up her alley.
What's your DJ name again? If you don't mind me
DJ asking? Cash Era.
DJ Cash Era. I get it. Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Hey, John. This is Michael and John in for Patty Vasquez tonight. John, I wanted to know, what are you doing for New Year's Eve this year?
Oh, boy. Oh, God. Drinking by myself, probably. Till the clock strikes midnight and crying myself to sleep. I don't know. Just another New Year.
That sounds like a very nice New Year's. Well, if you need something else to do...
Sounds like I do.
Don Gibb is going to be actually throwing a New Year's Eve party. And if you don't know this person, mm-hmm. he's from the classic movie Revenge of the Nerds. There's so many good things about this person. He was in the NFL. He has a great connection to Chicago. He's celebrating a New Year's Eve celebration at Trader Todd's in Lakeview. The evening will kick off with a 3-hour meet and greet.
Wow.
Happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m.
Oh, getting early air on New Year's Eve, man. Wow, I'm not going to make it until midnight if I start drinking at 5. We're going to ask Don all about this.
Yes, we do. Let's get Don on the phone right now. Don, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Great to hear from you. So you have this great thing happening over at Trader Todd's in Lakeview. Now, I love this place. I've been there a few times. What's your connection to Trader Todd's, and how'd you get this relationship started?
It's a long story, but me and my partner, I met him. He had a bar downtown, and I was doing U.S. Marshals here. And I don't know if you know anything about the movie business, but you work very little. So I was there for like 2 months, and I used to walk around the neighborhood, and one day he says, you know, I'm opening up a bar tonight. You want to come on in? So I went on in there, and we became really good friends, and then they closed the bar down there. Then he moved it up to near Wrigley there, and I became like, you know, a little bit of partners with him, and it's grown and grown and grown, and the bar's doing great.
John, you know,
he's a great guy.
Do you come back to Chicago a lot? Because you're from California. You live there now.
I live here now.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you live in Chicago?
We moved here like 3 years ago.
I didn't know that.
I became a gigantic Cubs fan, and that's all Todd's fault. Because we had that bar in Wrigley.
Right.
I used to be a Dodger fan, and I used to come out here all the time. And, you know, when you're involved in that area, you can't help it. So
right.
I am now the most avid, ridiculous Cubs fan that, you know, probably ever lived. And it's like it's really sad, bro. I mean, it's like, so yeah, we've lived here for like 3 years. We have a 5-year-old baby that goes to school.
Okay.
And I'm 63. I got a 5-year-old baby.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah. You know, I'm kicking around doing pretty good, but, well, no, we live here and I love it, you know?
Tom, I gotta say, you had to suffer for 2 whole long years without the Cubs winning the World Series.
How do you feel about
that? Yeah, man, you really suffered.
I'm lucky, man. But I suffered for like, what, 17 or 16 when I used to come out here?
Yeah, true.
And it was bad, bro. Yeah, I gave up almost. You know, you almost give up. And then finally, you know, it turned for us and it was a beautiful thing. And, even my son's a big fan. He's in the ATF in Los Angeles, and he's a big fan of the Cubs now because of me, and So he's ruined for life. We ruined him.
Yeah. Hey, Don, I got to ask you. So obviously your classic of the Revenge of the Nerds and other Nerds movies that came out afterwards. I have to admit something to you, Don, and I don't mean to say this. Am I the last person on Earth who has never seen Revenge of the Nerds all the way through? I've seen it kind of pop in and out on TV, dude. But I've never seen it. I know.
Oh, listen to that.
I hate to be the guy, but I didn't want to fake it to you, Don. I didn't want to pretend.
Oh, dude.
Am I the last one?
You're about to get a wedgie so hard right now, John.
Dude, man, that is like a really sad thing.
I mean, I know.
I think I've had 5-year-old kids come up to me. I've had 80-year-old women come up to me. I didn't think there was a person in the entire United States and maybe the country and maybe the world who hasn't seen that movie. I swear. Well, there is a few. Every once in a while, you do run into who makes fun of me and goes, "I don't know what movie you've been in."
Well, Don, here's the thing: having not even seen it, I still know who you are and knew your role in the movie. So it must be in passing, like when it's on TV, that I've seen bits and pieces of it. But so, anyways, I get off the air at 2 a.m. I'm going home. I'm watching the whole thing straight through.
You gotta watch it, brother. I mean, it's a good movie, and Ogre was a great character. I was really lucky in my career. I got to do that. I got to do Bloodsport and Revenge of the Nerds, and the directors were kind enough to kind of let me do my own thing. So it was fun. It was fun. We do a lot of those conventions. You know, they have those signing conventions, and the nerds get together, and there's like 7 of us, and we just have a great time. We're still really good friends. I mean, it's really weird. I mean, it's been how many years and years and years, but that and Bloodsport probably were the two biggest things, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, John, when you were growing up, did you always want to be an actor? What was your background and what kind of? Okay, what did you want to do when you were growing up?
I was always an athlete. I was in California. I played basketball and football, and I went to New Mexico on a basketball scholarship. And I had a car accident, which kind of messed me up. It kind of messed with my eyes. I don't know if, you know, you see my characters, my eyes are all messed up. Well, that's actually from a car accident.
Oh, wow.
And so I was always wanting to be an athlete. And then what happened was I was, you know, living in Los Angeles, and I met a couple of guys, and they said, you know, dude, they're looking for big dudes to stunt double these guys, like, you know, Matuzak and Chuck Connors. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, I could do that, I think. So I started doing stunt work, and then I landed this stunt acting job on Magnum PI, and Tom Selleck, you know, kind of helped me out. He said, you know, we watch dailies, man. You're a pretty good actor. And I thought, nah, I don't want to be an actor, man. I want to be a stuntman. And then I just got his agent, and then I landed Revenge of the Nerds and a couple of other parts, and then that was it for stunt work, and I just did straight acting after that. And I was very blessed. You know, I just kept on working, which is really hard in Hollywood. And I was very, very blessed as an actor to keep on working.
It's good that you say that it's blessed, because, you know, I know I've talked to actors in the past where they're kind of known for a signature role, and you've done a bunch of other stuff as well, but you're kind of known for it.
Right.
And some people see it as kind of a curse that they're approached on it. It's always about that one thing. But it seems to me that you take the attitude of, hey, that was a gift, and I'm going to, you know, ride it and enjoy it as much as I can.
It was a beautiful gift. I mean, it was the lucky thing for me was that I did Bloodsport right after that, so people could see, you know, Hollywood is really funny, and they could see that I could do drama.
Right.
And so that helped me. And then luckily I was always in the right place. I mean, I played bikers, and then the advent of that sitcom came in, and then, you know, Night Court and Cheers, and, you know, I played Tiny on Cheers, and people remember that, and I was just really fortunate that sitcom comedy thing came along, and I mean, I must have done 200 of them, you know?
Wow. So what's happening on New Year's Eve? So you're starting the drinking at 5 o'clock at Trader Todd's?
Yeah, you know, we start early, man. Early, and you got to get yourself so blasted that you don't even know what, when New Year's hits, you don't even know what's New Year's. Yeah, no, we start early, and Todd starts to get pretty drunk about 7, 8 o'clock, and he's wanting to already drop the ball at 9 o'clock, and we have to tell him not till midnight. Not till midnight.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's really fun. We got karaoke. I'll be there for the whole night, and he's got like 25% off the drinks. And food, you know, so it should be a really good time. I mean, New Year's Eve at Todd's it's a blast, man. It really is great. And I invite all the nerds in your audience to, you know, come on down there and meet me.
Exactly. Sure. I know we will definitely be there. And yeah, you have two complimentary champagne toasts, endless karaoke, 25% off food, $3 Rolling Rocks.
Wait, two toasts? What time did you do
Two-Tone?
The nerds know how to party.
When's the first one? When's the second? Like, I know there's one at midnight. When's the second one?
Well, the first one's at 11 for the East Coast people, in case they're watching.
Okay.
You know what I mean? This just gives Todd an extra chance to drop this fish thing that he has. I don't know where he got it from, but it's quite embarrassing. But it gives him two chances to do that, and we just kind of laugh at him and tell him to sit down because, you know, he might fall down.
Yeah.
So, it's all good.
Hey, Don, what's your go-to karaoke song, by the way?
Oh, dude, I'm horrible. But you know what we do? We do Aqualung by Jeff Rhodes.
That's awesome.
Sitting on a park bench. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really good. You can go longer if you'd like, or we can just save it for New Year's Eve.
I'll scare your audience, but yeah, if they come down and I'll sing it for them.
That's awesome.
That is so great. We're talking to Don Gibb. Don, thank you so much for joining us tonight. The doors are open at 3 p.m. on New Year's Eve over at Trader Tots.
What?
Right on, brother.
That is amazing. Well, you know, they'll be celebrating the New Year in Germany at that point, so you might as well start. And
you
just
might
like
as well do it. And over, you know, I drank out of one of those trophy deals, so what the heck? I can do it.
You're well seasoned. You've been practicing this for a while.
I've been practicing, brother. You got that right.
It's a long game. All right.
Don, before I let you go, you know, you have a 5-year-old child, and you've been living in Chicago for a long time. What do you have going on for Christmas? What does Don Ogre Gibb do for the holidays?
My wife's parents live down in La Salle, Peru.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to head down there for Christmas down there so my daughter can be with her cousins. And then we'll head down to a place called Carthage, Illinois.
Oh yeah,
see her grandma Ruby, which, you know, I'm a big deal down in that small town. Let me tell you, boy, they might even have a parade for me. One of these places.
That's awesome.
So that's what we're doing for Christmas. Yeah,
man, avoiding that cold any way you can. I love that. Well, be sure to check out Trader Todd's in Lakeview. The event is happening on New Year's Eve. The doors open at 3 p.m., so you can get nice and toasty right away.
Yeah.
We've been speaking to Don.
You could go there at 3, drink till 6. I could go home, take a nap, and then come back about 9:30 and then get the whole thing. All right, that's what I'm doing.
You go home, watch Revenge of the Nerds, and then come on back.
Exactly.
Let's come back, you know?
Don, we can't thank you enough for joining us here on WGN. We wish you a really happy holiday and have a great time at New Year's Eve.
You too. Thanks a lot for calling.
That's all right, awesome. Of course. Oh, all man.
Right, okay. I'm going to watch that movie. That guy's awesome.
What a great, great guy. Yeah. What a great, great event at Trader Todd's. So go and check that out.
Mike. Oh, yeah. See, we don't know who's starting.
Well, I'm glad that we, you know what, we should just say it together simultaneously every single time. I think we just jump on air.
Yeah, that works well. 720 WGN, Mike and John in for Patty Vasquez. Joined by Jerry Nunn, entertainment journalist, nunontherun.com. Jerry, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. Sorry we didn't get you to chime in there with the ogre. But that was a fun interview.
Yeah, he was lively.
Right?
Yeah.
For this time of day. I thought he was a really cool guy. He sounds kind of like that character still
does. Yes,
he sounds
big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he called me brother a lot. Which usually makes me uncomfortable, but I felt really okay with it there.
Brother.
Yeah.
Brother's better than bro.
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I wish we should all go back to brother.
Right.
Yeah. If you don't know me, don't bro me is what I always
say. Wow. That's a good one.
World's expect, that's what I say.
So, Jerry, I'm so glad you're here because I saw two movies this year.
Okay.
And one of them was It. So I don't even remember the other
one. Okay.
I've been really trying to see a lot more movies. So I'm glad that now we have the Golden Globe nominations out. So I can kind of like narrow down the field now that I have some time to go see the movies.
Yeah, because there was a lot of movies. I started reviewing movies for Windy City Times. This is my first year to do it the whole year. I started with Logan and kind of went through the whole year.
Uh-huh.
And
was it a good year for movies?
Yeah, I think it was. I don't like the negative people that are like, oh, it wasn't good and blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, it wasn't good for maybe sequels.
Yeah.
Sequels were not, you know, there wasn't a big, great sequel. I mean, Star Wars, I guess, would be the one that's done well. But
well, there's been so many reboots and redos that I think everyone's getting a little worn out with some of this stuff.
Yeah, and we didn't need some of these, like, Chips.
No,
I forgot about Chips.
A lot of people didn't like Baywatch.
Oh yeah, no, that didn't do very well. Man. That was terrible.
Pitch Perfect 3, we were just saying that's the third one.
What'd you think?
Just came out.
It was better than the second one.
Okay.
We'll say that.
That's what I keep hearing from a lot of people, that it's better than the second, but not better than the first.
It's not better than the first.
Yeah,
I felt like they were trying to get Anna Kendrick to do another Cup song, but they couldn't quite get there.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that?
I do kind of feel like that. It was a really good movie, and, you know, most of the time I don't really focus my my movie going on a cappella movies about teams that are traveling for USO shows.
Yes.
But they do a really good job. Like, you have fun seeing movies. And I think this year, I guess more than last year, it's more about just those fun, you don't need to think about it, kind of just carefree movies that that everyone kind of can just get behind. Yeah. But if you swing and miss, like on Chips and Baywatch, you swing and miss hard.
Right. Yes. Was there a Pirates movie this year too?
There was a Pirates of the Caribbean. There was a Transformers.
Oh, wow. God.
There was a lot of behind. Yeah, there was a lot of misses.
Go ahead.
Some hits. So, best motion picture. So, the Golden Globes, for those that don't know, I think they divide them up between their kind of categories. You got the drama categories and you got the musical or comedy categories.
Yeah.
So, walk us through some of these nominations and which one, if you have some clear favorites maybe or something.
It comes out, this is January 7th.
When the actual.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
It's really soon. This is actually really soon.
Is it usually this early?
Because this is gearing up for the Oscars.
Okay.
So this is kind of getting people prepped and ready and,
the primer.
You know, kind of narrowing some stuff down, but it's still pretty wide with a lot of categories. I liked, Lady Bird was like my favorite movie of the year.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys know about that. A lot of Steppenwolf actors.
Is it LBJ about Lady
Bird? It's not, okay. No. And everyone's confused about that. And that's part of the marketing problem, sir.
I thought it was about the First Lady.
It's not about Jerry Lee Lewis, a pretty lady.
I don't know.
Okay.
No, and that probably is the title that's confusing people or something. But it's a lot of Steppenwolf actors.
It was the coming-of-age movie that everyone keeps talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's so good. And everyone, like, several people are nominated from it. And, you know, Laurie Metcalf from Roseanne.
Yeah.
You know, plays the mother, and she's just so good, and so I wanted to get nominated for even more stuff, but it did okay, you know. But
so that's the musical or comedy, the best motion picture, against some other movies: Get Out, The Disaster Artist, The Greatest Showman, and I, Tonya. Do you like any of those movies?
What was the first one?
I don't remember. The Disaster Artist.
No, I didn't see that one.
Get Out.
I missed it. Get Out. Of course, I saw that one really early.
Mm-hmm.
That's unusual because it was released so early in the year, and people are still remembering it this far in. So that's been interesting with that. I really liked it. I thought that was one of the. I did like a top five in the newspaper this week.
Yeah.
So that was my number five.
What about The Greatest Showman?
That's a musical with Hugh Jackman.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the screening. It was early on a Sunday. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Who does that?
They had clowns and stuff, I heard.
Oh,
so
no.
I missed.
Oh, you would have liked the clowns.
That early in the morning, I don't know.
You know what? I was thinking about this, about The Greatest Showman. That is the most publicized movie I've ever seen that no one has seen yet.
Mm. It's still really new. It doesn't come out till this Friday.
But I feel like I've seen it on so many commercials now that I actually feel like I've kind of seen it already. And I already think that I don't know. Well,
no, I just, I need to go out and see some of these movies. Okay, so Dunkirk. Did you like Dunkirk?
I watched it last night.
Oh, really?
It was just an
easy Thursday night viewing.
Right. Well, I'm trying to warm up to the, you know, get everything crammed in. Mm-hmm. It's a Chris Nolan movie, which I didn't know at first. Which, you know, he's amazing.
Right. Yeah, always doing good stuff.
So visually, it was great. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a Dark Knight. And Hans Zimmer did the music. So it's this really good visually, you know, good combo of that. So I really, and I was looking for Harry Styles the whole time for One Direction. I was like, which one is he? You know, I'm looking through all the guys. Where is he?
Did you find him?
You know, I did. I had to look up the images and everything because I wasn't sure. You know, because I knew he wasn't going to have all that hair that he normally has. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good point. You know, one of the movies that has been really taking the world by storm, and we kind of talked about it last time we were on air, is Star Wars. Now, I'm hearing a lot of good things, bad things about that, but I want to get the Nun on the Run take of what happened with the greatest, best movie everyone keeps saying for 2017. What did you think?
I thought it was long.
It's a good start, Jerry. Good start.
I think that's really how all movies should be judged, on total runtime.
I thought it was a good continuation from the first one's kind of the setup, you know, the last one, and then this one is more the meat and potatoes, kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The Carrie Fisher thing's interesting because we don't know what's going to happen
in
the third movie because they're not going to GCI her or anything.
Right.
That's a good point. Now, I heard
Spoiler alert. Carrie Fisher died, so
yeah,
that complicated things.
Yes. I'm going to hurt you right now.
I'm not trying to make. I'm not making a joke.
No. You said. Oh, I'm just
No, no spoilies.
I mean, no, I mean like in real life.
It's like you don't even have the word spoil alert out of your...
Roger, I think you just spoiled it even more spoiler. I just said that she, the Carrie Fisher, the person is...
Well, the actress died. Yeah.
That's all I was saying. I was just reminding people who lived in Iraq the last year or so. Not in Iraq, the country, but maybe but under Iraq.
You know, if I had dander, it would be up right now.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Did you see Call Me By Your Name?
I did.
Okay, so what'd you think? Because I know a lot of people are telling me I got to go see this movie. Walk us through what it is. This is a. Well, I saw the trailer and it was kind of. This kid looks young. He's supposed to be a 17-year-old, right?
Yes.
And he falls in love with someone who's much older, an older man, right?
Right, and he's only supposed to be 26, but he actually looks a lot older.
Right, so I saw the trailer and I was like, this kind of is rubbing me in a weird way.
It's a bit of a problem.
Right.
But, and it only takes its time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about, you know, the summer in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I cried.
Mm-hmm.
It's emotional for me, you know, as a gay guy watching it. I don't think it's going to have any big crossover appeal. It's not going to be the Moonlight. You know, Moonlight kind of had some crossover.
Right.
We haven't really had that kind of movie, I think, that's had a huge crossover. I was talking about that at a holiday party this evening because we were talking about that there's not been a gay movie that's had a huge, huge crossover.
Like a gay love story.
There's
right.
been some moments. Brokeback Mountain kind of got pretty close.
Yeah.
And maybe the Birdcage people, the average person saw.
Right.
But it's not, there's not been, you know, Philadelphia is not a representation we want.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
So yeah, this one's not going to break any box office records, but it's interesting. It does have some kind of following already. I interviewed Michael Stahlberg from the movie. Uh-huh. He plays the father.
Okay.
So he has a really great monologue in it. And he's also in The Shape of Water and in The Post.
Oh, Shape of Water.
He's in three really big movies.
Yeah, I heard that was really good. Well, you know what we could do? After we hit this news break with Roger Badish, let's take a look at the 2018 Golden Globe nominations and kind of just go through kind of one by one.
Okay.
Not all of them. There's pages and pages of this.
There's a lot.
And we only have so much time here on WGN. And we'll just see what we think is going to win for this upcoming year. You can place your bets kind of. Here on the show.
We can place bets on that?
Oh, yeah, of course. Call in 312-981-7200. Give me your money. That's totally fine. Mm-hmm. Or just give me who you think is going to win. Who are some hot contenders this year?
Jing-a-dee-jing. It's Dominic the Donkey. Jing-a-dee-jing. The Italian Christmas Donkey.
See, there we go.
There we go. What? Nonsense.
Another classic Christmas song. This is Michael Heidemann and John Hansen in for Patty Vasquez.
You're calling yourself Michael now.
Oh, jeez.
I thought, yeah.
You can Michael, Mike,
yeah,
Mike
it doesn't H. matter.
It Whatever doesn't really want. Matter. Yeah. My mom used to call me Michael.
Yep.
Now she just calls me late to dinner. Anyway, that was so lame. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But speaking of jokes from the 708, you know, we spoke to Don Gibb. We have a little football joke if you wanted to hear it, John.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
From the 708, here's a football joke. Do you know why football players don't live very long? Because at the beginning of the game, they kick off.
I don't get it.
I guess that means they die. And as in kick off, as in you know, go
right.
Kick the bucket.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Exactly.
I guess.
Thank you. All right, anyway, so we were talking Golden Globes. Obviously, there's no rim shot or anything for that, yep. I guess. We are talking to Jerry Nunn, Nunn on the Run. You can hear him a lot of the time on Bill and Wendy. Weren't you just on Bill and Wendy?
I was, yeah. I talked about New Year's, fun stuff to do. And
what do you do for New Year's?
For New Year's?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Go to Trader Todd's?
I mean, maybe. I need a photo with that guy.
Right.
Like,
he's got 10 hours to kill on New Year's Eve.
He's going to be a good selfie to get.
Right.
I was thinking about Navy Pier, you know, because they have a lot of great things out there. I mean, to get on the boat, I think, would be really fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
To go out on the lake and actually be under the fireworks.
For the fireworks, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have some food and drinks.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Yeah. All right, so the Golden Globe nominations just came out, so we are going to kind of walk through some of these categories. Now, you haven't, in full disclosure, you haven't necessarily seen every film.
No.
So you're making predictions based on what you've seen.
Right.
Or what you think is deserving, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
All right, so for Best Motion Picture for Drama, Call Me By Your Name, which we just talked about, Dunkirk, The Post, The Shape of Water, and another movie I heard are a lot of good things about, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Yeah, I've seen all those.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I've seen
with
all
Francis
of them.
McDermott, right?
Yes.
Who I adore.
Well, then you'll love it.
Really? Is it really good?
It's really good.
Oh,
it's really well written. She is just really powerful and strong and deserves any kind of award again.
because she won for Fargo.
I'm sure, yeah.
That was a big thing.
She was also been Almost Famous as the mom. I mean, she's done some incredible stuff. So which
she's really good.
Which one do you think in that category has taken home the golden statue?
Lady Bird wasn't on that category.
No, this is just the drama category.
Mm.
Lady Bird's in the next one.
Yeah, I really like The Shape of Water.
Okay.
So I thought that was really visually great. A lot of these are going to be at Landmark. So look for Landmark Century, Century Mall.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of these movies play. So The Shape of Water is there, and Lady Bird, you know, movies that I like, the Three Billboards.
You know, Michael Shannon, a Chicago actor, was in that Shape of Water, and he's doing a lot of good stuff, and he's coming out with a lot more movies now. What a great, great, great actor.
He is. He is. I interviewed him when he was drinking at a party one time.
Was,
so he was really fun. He was actually really funny.
Because he was drinking at a party.
Yeah, I don't.
The most
intense
actor.
Did you quote him on that?
Yeah.
I didn't use a lot of quotes from that because I was, you know, very respectful. I mean, he's so talented. He's in so many great movies. Mm-hmm.
Yes. One of the most serious faces I've ever seen on the screen.
He looks scary. Yeah.
He does.
When you talk to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we actually had him here at WGN, I think, in 2015.
Okay.
And I was an intern at the time. Oh, no, I was producing at the time. And I needed to walk him up to the studio on the seventh floor is where we record a lot of our podcasts. And he was wearing this, he had an Amoeba Music tote bag at the time.
Okay.
And I tried to, you know, hey, I like music too. I host this music show on WGN that's getting started off. Where'd you get that bag at? And he looks at me and goes, "That's from Amoeba Music. It's in Los Angeles. I doubt you've heard of it."
He looked at you with those eyes.
With those eyes, and I was like, "I'm in your movie right now. This is so, it was so intense." But I love everything that he's in. And so I wish all good things for The Shape of Water. Let's move on to Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. This is a great category. It's The Disaster Artist, Get Out, The Greatest Showman, I, Tonya, and Lady Bird. What are your thoughts on that, Jerry?
I love Lady Bird, so I want that one.
But you haven't seen The Disaster Artist yet, and that's getting a lot of good buzz, too.
No, I've been invited to these things, but then I think that, oh, is this going to be a big movie? Like, it's hard to tell when you get invited early in the year to these screenings, and then I go, oh, I should have gone, or what was I doing?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Best Actress. Got Jessica Chastain for Molly's Game, Sally Hawkins in The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards, Meryl Streep for The Post, and Michelle Williams, All the Money in the World.
Oh, I just saw The Post this week.
Okay, what's The Post about?
So that's about The Washington Post.
Oh, okay, I've seen the promos for this one.
But nobody knows that.
Who does Meryl Streep play in that?
She plays Kay, the leader of The...
Of The Post?
Yes. And she...
The one where George Mitchell told her not to get her... I can't even say the word in a ring when they called and quoted him on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And is she good?
She should really go with this acting thing. It's doing very well for her.
Is Meryl Streep any good at acting?
Yeah. You know, I mean,
jury's out.
She phoned this one in.
No, a lot of indie movies.
To watch her work, I mean, she does this thing where she's like fiddling with her glasses a lot. I don't know where she got that, if she studied how Kay was. I guess Kay's been running around. Maybe that she just finds a little thing about the character and just uses it. And it's just so great to watch her, you know, everyone around her is just, must be in awe of her.
That's great.
You
know? Yeah, I like that. Okay, so let's go to Best Performance by an Actress in Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. Now, this has a lot of great people in it as well. A lot of movies that really I thought were going to do a lot better than they did, specifically Emma Stone in Battle of the Sexes. I thought that movie was going to be a great hit, and it wasn't.
I did, too. What happened?
I thought Steve Carell, Emma Stone, this is going to be out of the park, but
yeah, it didn't
so
make
much.
It over the net. This is made by the Little Miss Sunshine team,
right?
Like, what's not to like?
So we also have Judi Dench, who was in Victoria, and Abdul, Helen Mirren, The Leisure Seeker, Margot Robbie, and I, Tonya, and I'm just going to totally screw up this name.
Saoirse Ronan,
yeah,
Lady Bird,
yeah.
Saoirse Ronan,
is that how you say her name? I was guessing. I was really throwing
I'm
that
not
one
Irish,
right?
But
Saoirse Ronan.
Okay.
Yeah, she's really good. What was the second one?
The second one was Helen Mirren in The Leisure Seeker.
Oh, no. Judy, I like Judi Dench.
Judi Dench.
Okay.
That was a really good movie, and people didn't go see it.
Yeah.
It was so sweet. It's about her relationship. It's like Queen Elizabeth, right?
Mm-hmm. Or was it Victoria?
Queen Victoria. Yeah, sorry.
Victoria.
She's Queen Victoria, and she had a relationship with her servant.
Is it based on a true story?
It is.
Well, because I know Victoria's husband died very early in her life, and I didn't know that she later on was got involved with someone.
It's really scandalous. The relationship is so great, and I thought the guy was really cute, and then at the end they show the real guy, and it wasn't quite so movie much. Star material.
Well.
but I loved her. She's so good, you know? I just love her.
What about actors in drama? Daniel Day-Lewis in Phantom Thread. Tom Hanks in The Post, Gary Oldman, Darkest Hour. We had a text about that Gary Oldman performance, too, and what you thought about that if you saw Darkest Hour. Denzel Washington, and then is it Timothy Chalamet? I don't know his name. I called me by your name. So, I don't know. Do you have any favorites there?
I mean, I can't say Call Me By Your Name's gonna really
win. Did you see Darkest Hour or no?
I didn't.
Okay.
I heard that... I just heard at the party tonight that I was at. We were talking
You're
about
so many things at this party.
This is like we just really, it was prep. I was doing some prep work at a holiday party.
Like, what should I do? What should I be talking about tonight?
They said it's really slow but he's good, but it's just like really, really slow. So, I don't know.
That makes
this a kind of a tough category because I haven't seen some of
Let's just go with Daniel Day-Lewis because he's great.
He's good in everything.
Yeah, we'll go with Daniel Day-Lewis.
What's he done wrong,
Right.
And you know what? The other thing about The Darkest Hour just popped into my head. That's a Stephen King novel, correct?
Is it?
I thought...
They didn't talk about that at the party.
Are you talking about The Dark Half, maybe? Right. The Dark Half.
Well, either way, Stephen King has had so many great movies from It, which I don't think is on this list
it was a big hit though. I mean, they don't care probably. They made a lot of money on that.
Yeah.
They're fine. They'll be okay.
They're doing fine.
Yeah. But I was going to say, he's also had so many great things happening with Netflix and everything, and it's just cool to see such a great author create these films that are still carrying on through today's. I mean, most of the movies are from the 70s, or books are from the 70s.
But The Dark Tower was not a big
hit. The Dark Tower.
That's the one that didn't do so well this year.
I see how you got those confused though. Dark Tower, Darkest Hour. Yeah, they rhyme. And they have the word dark in them.
Right.
All right,
totally get it.
Let's lighten up this dark hour.
What was this party, by the way? Who was it? Was it just like the...
It was actually some movie PR people.
What, really?
So I was at the party.
This is how you prep for today.
Yeah, at a PR party. Talking about movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was it at? Whose apartment was it at?
It was at their house. There's a house up north.
Of just movie PR people that live there?
Address? Did you want to crash the party?
Is this still going on?
Someone stole my coat at the party, though.
John's very upset he was invited to this party.
Someone stole your coat at the party?
Yeah, and I actually wore someone else's coat out the door, and I was like, wait, this is not my coat.
Oh, no.
So do you think that person switched?
Yeah, you're right.
Did you figure it out?
And I went back. No, they just texted me about the jacket. They're like, is this your jacket? No, it's not. I didn't have a polo.
Call in now if you can. 312-981.
Did you just come with no coat then?
Yeah, I just wore the sweater to the studio.
It's cold out.
I know. I'm freezing. What am I supposed to do? Go back to the party? Like, wait around?
I think you should call in. I think you should go back to that party and figure out what happened.
So many scandals happening right now.
Yeah.
You know, we actually have a caller, Carrie, who wanted to help us with the pronunciation of that
perfect.
Name we couldn't get. Carrie, what's going on? Can you help us out a little bit?
Sure, it's Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse.
Are you Irish?
No, but my friend is Irish, and he named his daughter same spelling, Saoirse.
Okay, and then what did you think about her in the movie? Did you see that movie?
No, but I did love her in her movie she had out last year, where she went back to Ireland. She's great. I'm really looking forward to seeing Lady Bird.
Brooklyn. It's called Brooklyn, right?
Yes.
Brooklyn? Yes, Brooklyn. Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's great. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for the call. We really appreciate that. And if we script any other pronunciations, just give us a ring, too, okay?
Yeah. That one's a tough one. I've seen it spelled. It's tough.
Well, thanks so much, Carrie. Have a good night. Thanks for listening to WGN.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. All right, so let's move on to our next category. We were talking a little bit dark. We were talking about Jerry losing his coat. But the main thing that I want to know is, who's going to win the best animated motion picture? We've got a lot of great contenders. I've seen
zero of these movies. Article.
We've got The Boss Baby. We've got The Breadwinner. Coco, which is the new Disney movie.
Huge hit.
Mm-hmm. Huge hit. Ferdinand and Loving Vincent.
So I tried to watch Loving Vincent last night, and it's a hand-painted cartoon movie. Okay,
Oh,
so it's an homage
really?
To him.
Okay.
Yes. 30 minutes in, I was so bored. I mean, really? It looks great.
Vincent Van Gogh.
Yes, I got bored of that one. But Coco would be the obvious winner. I mean, it's a huge moneymaker. People love it. They love the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's done well.
You know, Jerry, how much effort goes into these awards? Because often you see awards that you don't really think we're going to win. A lot of it comes from, I know, publications that are pushing for these awards to win. Is it still merit-based, or do you think that there's a lot more that has to do with the amount of money it makes and the people who are behind it?
They send a lot of screeners out. I hear that from people in the industry all over the place, how many screeners they're sending out. So people are watching the films, I think, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
There's just more access to a lot of the films.
Yeah.
I think people can watch them all over the place now, on their computers, on screenings, all that kind of stuff. So, and there's a big push, you know. I mean, I hear it from PR people. Oh, we're trying to push this person for that. And this doesn't necessarily mean that they win or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they really look at the box office. Like,
yeah.
A movie like Coco that does well, I think they look at that kind of stuff.
So you're saying people seen it. Not a lot of hope for the Boss Baby then. Okay.
Having just lost a local Emmy, I can just tell you it's all politics. So, everyone's against me. I know. I only have, how many, 17 more I've got to lose before I'm at Lucci territory?
Yeah.
Something to dream for. Right, yeah, exactly. Something to go for. Really quickly, TV series drama. Obviously, you look at this list, there's only one network show even on this.
Wow, you're right.
NBC. The rest of it is, well, HBO, Game of Thrones, not a network, obviously. Then you got The Handmaid's Tale. Everyone's talking about that on Hulu, Stranger Things and Netflix, and The Crown on Netflix, which I got to see. I haven't seen it yet. I promised I was going to watch it with someone else. That person started watching it without me.
How dare they?
I know, so now I'm going to go home and watch that.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorites there?
I heard The Crown is kind of slow but long, but everybody likes
it. Everyone loves it, yeah.
Everyone talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
Big Little Lies, was it on there? Or is that on
No.
That's on a different category.
It must be. I don't know.
They were nominated like 6 times.
That's on limited series or motion picture made for television, HBO show.
Okay. I love Big Little Lies. I just saw that recently.
Okay.
So,
Interesting. Okay, so one thing, I'm only mentioning this category. I know we're cutting close on time here. I need to know, because I loved what Netflix did over this past year. There's been no bigger game changer than that online streaming service. One of the best things that I'm just pointing it out.
That online streaming service.
It's only like
breaking
an old
it down for people. Yeah, you did a little bit. Sorry, keep going.
And Netflix is going to really change the game these days in 2018. But I love the show Glow on Netflix. And Alison Brie did a really great job on that. And she's nominated for Best Performance by an Actress in a Television Series, Music or Comedy. We didn't cover this one already, did we?
Nope.
Okay.
I've never heard of Glow.
You've never heard of Glow?
That's the women wrestlers, right?
Yes.
In the 80s.
Yes.
Never heard of it.
Oh, it was a great, only one season on Netflix, and it was about women wrestling, and she's nominated alongside Pamela Alden for Better Things, Rachel Brochon from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Issa Rae for Insecure, and Frankie Shaw for Smilf on Showtime. Have you heard of any of these films TV shows?
The Glow one I'd heard of.
Okay, you've heard of Glow.
I didn't watch it.
Okay.
So having seen none of these and just hearing these names now, which is your favorite from this category? Whatever they say to the
Which
party.
What category?
Doesn't matter.
All right, let's
Where's
see
the
here.
Center at? Where's the center? Because I watched the center. I think that's an actress, though.
Yeah, that's actress in
that's
the living.
That's Jessica Biel, right?
Yeah, in the center, yeah.
Because I watched that last night, and I love that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you watched so much stuff last night.
I did.
You watched Dunkirk.
I was up all night. I was cramming for this. It was like doing homework.
Did you watch
all
them
night.
like sped up at one point?
Yeah,
or
did you
like,
watch
fast forward? No. I just got addicted to the center. Big Little Lies I watched like last weekend, and I just, that's up for so many, and I just loved it. I love that
Some
one.
Some strangers
oh
giving you
word.
SNL passes on the street, you're at a party talking to people losing your coat, and you crammed watching about 19 hours worth of stuff last night.
Right. Exactly.
For more, you can go
Welcome
to
my world.
Yes. NunOnTheRun.com with Jerry Nunn for all of his adventures. You just blog about your life, Jerry, I swear.
Should.
It's the most exciting man in the biz. That's Jerry Nunn. All right, let's take a quick break and go to some commercials here to pay the bills. We're gonna collect ourselves, talk about some Netflix films that that neither of us have seen, and we'll be back with you in a few moments. Thanks.
WGN, John Hanson, Mike Heidemann filling in for Patty Vasquez pretty late. Mike's the producer of that show. He's now on the other side of the microphone. Everyone knows Mike.
Yes.
Everyone loves Mike.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
I would. Jerry Nunn, entertainment journalist, nunontherun.com, who crammed for this interview.
Did you watch? Working overtime.
It's almost like you are cramming for that final. You didn't go to class the whole semester. Like, you didn't actually watch any of the movies from January 1st till December 21st.
Right.
And then you're like, oh my gosh, I've got this interview.
Yeah.
I need to watch every movie.
They're going to grill me, and I'm in big trouble over the globes.
What are you addicted to on Netflix? Like, what's something that as soon as it's coming out, you are diving in and going right for it?
I did like Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're doing a Comic-Con, like a Stranger Comic-Con thing coming up.
Really?
Just that, yeah.
Okay.
But I haven't seen the second season yet, so
okay.
I really need to cram tonight. Maybe I'll stay up all night tonight. I mean, I might as well just keep going.
Right, because I haven't seen the second season, too. I've heard some interesting reviews of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Crown, are you not The Crown?
So I got to start that one.
Okay. You've got
but it's an hour long.
You know, wait, I want to know, Jerry,
Netflix?
I do.
When you're viewing these, how do you watch your Netflix binges? Do you have like a bowl of popcorn next to you and some soda, or how do you get comfy to go through these binge watching extravaganzas?
I just focus on that. I don't eat. No. I'm just into
it. I hook
up
an IV and I just sit in my bed.
This Sinner movie, I'm telling you, the Sinner series, and like, that was so good with Jessica Biel. I mean, she's...
What's it about?
I don't want to give any spoilers because we're going to get yelled at.
Right, Roger's ready to yell.
He's amped.
Roger's ready to yell.
Yes, can you hear him?
I hear him.
Yeah.
Right, that is not his stomach.
So it's about this lady on the beach, and she commits a murder, and we don't know why. So it's all trying to figure that out. And it's a mystery. And Jessica Biel produced it herself because she's tired of not getting good roles.
I like that.
So she did that, and... I thought it was really, really good.
Is it a miniseries or like
it's only 8 episodes, right? TNT, and
okay,
just excellent. She might win.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Anything else that might have gone under people's radar this year that they should probably see, or that you just really like that maybe no one else will see? Maybe that the movie. Why can't I think about it? The love movie.
Boss Baby?
No.
Love movie.
The one we're talking about.
A lot of movies are about love.
The LGBT love story.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your Name.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people are talking, most of my gay friends are saying, I cried through that movie, like, the last 40 minutes of it.
Right.
But like you're saying, that crossover, is this a movie that, you know, some of our straight friends should go out and see?
They should, but they're
right. They're not going to.
Yeah,
what is that? You know, that's very interesting. In this day and age, being gay, we're about as gay positive as we can be in this country, thank God, nowadays. Mm-hmm. But there really aren't that many gay love stories in pop culture. I mean, we have our characters. I mean, Will and Grace came back again this year, which has been a lot of fun. Have you been watching Will and Grace?
Yes. Yeah. I watched it.
But, like, why? Do you think that the love stories still, in some ways, make people feel uncomfortable, or they just don't feel attached to the characters? Or
That's a possibility. Maybe it makes them...
Because I watch straight romantic movies, and I'm like, okay, I can kind of see that. I mean, I'm not, like, weirded out by a straight couple in love in a movie.
Maybe they have trouble identifying with it.
Yeah.
I've never thought about that. I mean, it could be true. I just...
You go back to that party.
Yeah.
Go find your coat and go talk to those people.
Exactly.
And figure out what the deal is.
There is a movie that I did see a preview for that's coming out. It's called Love, Simon. Do you have any info on that?
I heard it's great.
That is a new movie about a 17-year-old boy who's coming out, but he doesn't know how to, explain it to his friends and family. And it's supposed to be a really good movie. And they kind of take a spin on kind of a youthful look at that. So
been there, done that.
Yeah, it doesn't come out till March. So that's a little bit in the future.
Okay.
Well, that's an epic. Tease, Mike.
I'm sorry. But yeah. That. And there's also a movie called A Beautiful Woman.
Mm. Okay.
It's a Chilean movie, and it's about a trans person fighting the family of the person. Like, her husband has died, and she's fighting the family for rights.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I heard great buzz about that one, too.
Right.
So there's some upcoming stuff next year that we'll see. You know, I hope there's a big movie.
Yeah. So to close it out, I think you might have mentioned this before, but can you give me just the best movie you've seen all year? What should we check out that we haven't seen already?
Yeah, Lady Bird.
Lady Bird.
That was my number one movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, people should go see it. It's
not
funny.
About Lady Bird Johnson.
Right.
And I do want to see a movie. I would love to see Helen Mirren as Lady Bird Johnson and see that.
She'll do it.
Yeah, easy. Yeah,
she's great. I met her at a red carpet this year.
Lady Bird Johnson?
No.
Because that'd be impressive.
Helen Mirren. But she, and she was great. And she's all about LGBT rights, too.
Yeah.
Actually, she actually grabbed me and said, no, I'm here for the gays. And I was like, okay, thanks.
She just knew you were...
I said thank you for doing everything.
Okay,
but then she came back, actually, on the red carpet to just talk to me again, which I thought was
That's
nice.
That's pretty
she
cool.
She didn't have to do that.
No.
Now she was there with her husband. She's just... a phenomenal person.
Yeah, that's awesome. And a pretty good actress, too. She should stay in the game.
She should.
She should fight through the rough patches.
Yeah.
didn't you say that Lady Bird got a perfect score? Isn't that the only movie that's received a perfect a Rotten Tomatoes score?
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember, and I can't, because I've never heard it publicized. This one was publicized because it was so unusual and it was so out there. What other movies... that we might know that have received a perfect Rotten Tomatoes score.
Ooh, that's pretty rare. I don't think it happens very often.
Yeah.
That's a crowd-pleasing movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching it and thinking, I want to see it again, and I'm in the middle of the movie.
Mm.
So that doesn't happen.
Right. I think it was Pitch Perfect 3 got 100%.
I think it's not even out yet.
Right.
No, I think that got it. I think I'd heard that one.
Okay.
Okay, Jerry, great to talk to you. Go find your coat. What are you going to do, man?
I'm getting texts about it right
Stay
now.
Stay warm.
They're determined to find this coat.
They probably heard it on the radio. And
I just
like,
got a brand new coat, otherwise I'd give you mine.
The coat of many colors. You would give me the coat off your back?
That would so or would it? No, not, no, 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 no.
Oh.
If it was my old crappy coat.
Oh.
Well, but I wore my brand new one here. And you ain't
Merry Christmas, Jerry. Here's my old crappy coat.
Yeah. There's like gum in one of the pockets. Not like packaged gum, like just gum about. You know, you can have my gum coat.
I'll just go to one of these coat drives and grab the coats.
Jerry, come on.
Jerry, where can we find you besides None on the Run? You're everywhere, man. How can we?
Windy City Times is where I do a lot of the movie reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
My year-end wrap-up came out this week.
Right.
So that's in print across the street here in a box.
Awesome.
Great.
So, yeah.
And he'll be binging Netflix movies for the next
from
few
now
days.
Until the end mm-hmm. of time.
Thanks for coming on, Jerry.
Thank you for having me.
Have a good one. This 720 WGN. John Hanson, Mike Heidemann filling in for Patty Vasquez. You're giving that look, Mike. Was I supposed to do it?
I was waiting for a Christmas song, but I think this is Maneater.
Yeah, there you go. We got some music coming to the studio now.
Yes.
I'm excited about that. Can I hear some strumming of the guitar? Like, oh, we got the music coming in. Yeah, there we go. We've got Nick Corey and Noah Rafati from Dark Heart News, right? Am I saying that right? Or is it Dark Heart Music or?
No, it's Dark Heart News.
It's Dark Heart News. Okay. And, when we're talking, you guys get really close to the microphone, by the way.
Okay.
So, tell us about your style of music, how you guys met, and who you guys are, what you do. And get like you're eating the microphone when we're talking to this part.
You gotta get right,
you gotta get right,
right
up there and talk. So, Jeff, introduce yourselves.
I'm Nick.
I'm Noah.
Yeah. And, you know, we met in like 2015, probably spring,
mm-hmm.
on, was it Craigslist?
Yeah.
And I was just looking for a good time, and then he's like, I play guitar. And I was
it was
like,
a
oh.
misconnection.
Yeah, and then we're like, okay, we should just play music together.
Is that how a lot of musicians get their bands together?
Man, that you know what? You roll the dice when you go with Craigslist.
Really?
Yeah, you go for
a
lot.
I think that's a general consensus, whether it's about music or not.
Right.
So.
Music or a table or,
yeah,
or
right.
a car.
Or whatever it might be.
Zing. So you guys have been playing music for about 2 years now. What was this shared affection towards music? What was the one song that you guys were like, yeah, let's both jam out on this one, that kind of just drew you both together? I mean, because you guys obviously, did you have different music tastes? Different styles at one time?
Yeah, I think, well, I really like blues a lot. That's my, you know, that's my go-to. And Noah was like metal.
I was for like metal, and, like rock, and like funk.
Yeah.
I was like really all over.
Mm-hmm. And then we just like, we both like the Chili Peppers. So then we were like, okay, well, you know. Screw the rest of it. And we just started playing music. It didn't really matter.
It's a good
right.
amalgamation of both, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So how's the band going? How's the reception been? Are you guys enjoying the Chicago scene here out in the city?
Yeah, it's been great. Mm-hmm. We around here, we usually play once a month. We've been doing Cubby Bear. Before that, we did House of Blues.
Wow.
We've been playing around. So it's been going pretty well. You know, we put an album out in June called Temporary Living.
You can go to Craigslist to fix that too.
You can, you can.
Yeah.
You can.
Wait, are you guys both from the area or?
No,
I live in Orland Park.
Okay.
Yeah, I live in Downers Grove.
Oh, hey, Downers Grove.
Yeah,
I live there now. That's where I'm from.
Yeah.
Are you from Downers Grove?
No.
Oh.
No.
Where in Downers Grove do you live? You have to get the exact address.
Exact. Like Ogden in Maine.
Oh, cool. All right, north side, right by Downers Grove North.
Yeah.
I'm on Downers Grove south side of things, so. Anyways, that was a cool moment, a little aside. We could have done that off the air,
maybe
but we did it right
now. You
can
join the band,
John. Yeah, can
yeah,
I?
Yeah, done.
I play keyboards.
Perfect.
All right, good, great. I'll go get it. Bye.
See you, John.
Yeah, later. Let me get my keyboard.
So you guys have been playing for the last 2 years around the city and everything. You come from Downers Grove. I'd like to know, what was the first time, you picked up guitar? Has it always been the guitar? How'd you start your music career, I guess?
Well, I started playing saxophone probably in fourth grade.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah. Because the guy played the Pink Panther theme song, and I was like, dude, I'm in. I'm in Pink Panther. That's what I want to do. And then, then a couple years go by, and I still couldn't play the song, so then I started playing drums.
Right.
And then, then I heard Nirvana, and I was like, okay, let's get a guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that changed your life?
That was it. While I was in going to get my hair cut, asking the guy for dreadlocks when I was like 10, he was like, he's like, your father is going to kill me and you in my dreadlocks. But that's Nirvana. So I was
Can you ask a barber for dreadlocks? I thought it just came and then you just kind of just knotted it together.
I didn't even know what they were. I just know that Chris Cross had them and yes. I needed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, how about you?
I grew up like in a, my family were like musicians.
Uh-huh.
My dad, he plays drums, and I always wanted to learn bass since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have money for it, and then I bought cheap guitar. Mm-hmm. I used to play it as a bass.
Really?
Yeah, I used to just watch videos and just.
Bought an acoustic guitar and played
it as
a bass?
It was
He's actually in our band. He's the bass player.
Okay, cool.
But then I learned bass, and then I learned guitars, keyboards, and I played percussions too.
You do everything. All in one song? Do you bounce around? Do you have it all set up right in front of you?
Should. That'd be awesome.
That'd be really cool. I'm just giving you guys a new idea here.
Yeah.
I want full credit on that one for the next album. Well, we should hear some of this stuff.
I would love to. So you got the album that just came out, Temporary Living. Is this the song off the album?
Yes.
Okay, great. And could you say the name of the song?
Yeah, this is called Clinical Blues.
All right, guys, take it away.
All right. If you can live on dreams,
it up just to get down now. And I could get up, yeah, just to get down now.
Blues in that. No, I'm just kidding. That was awesome. That's really cool. I love how you guys have obviously different styles and singing there. Obviously, you're singing the higher part there, Noah. But you guys also look so different the way you're into the music in your own way. You know, like you are, Nick, you are, the facial expressions that you're given is incredible. People must love watching that, like how into it you get. And then, no, you're just like sitting back. It's like total bass player, just like totally chill, relaxed. I'm like, I don't know how you're so relaxed with this guy screaming right next to you.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, the yin and yang.
Yeah, but no, it is a little yin and yang, but it really does meld together and work really well. That was really cool.
Yeah, the guys, that was amazing.
Thank you. That was awesome.
All right, cool. So let's take a quick quick little break, and then we'll be back with more music from Dark Heart News. There we go.
This is a good one. Christmas. 720 WGN, Patty Vasquez, pretty late out. Her producer, Mike Heidemann, is here. And myself, John Hansen, filling in. We're joined by the guys from Dark Heart News, Nick and Noah. And you guys are playing, do you guys do like a residency at the Cubby Bear? Like, how often do you guys do stuff there?
Have you moved in? Do you live above it or something?
We do. We live in the back.
Artist residency, yeah, exactly.
No, we've been, for the past, what, 3 or 4 months, we've been doing probably once a month there.
It's like three shows or four shows?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. What's that crowd like? Because like, when I think Cubby Bear, I think of before a Cubs game or an after a Cubs game. Is it an attentive audience? Or do they really get into it? Because, I mean, like, the music that we heard, at least just from the one song, I'd want those people, like, really jamming along with me.
Yeah, it can get pretty wild.
Yeah?
Yeah, it can get going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the Cubby Bear has a great history. When I was starting in music, when I was in a band called, it was called Heart of the Fox, John,
back
in the day. And we came to the city for the first time and played our first gig at the Cubby Bear ever.
Right out of the gate?
Right? Whoa. It took a few months.
I also like how Mike set it up. The Cubby Bear has a great history. My band.
My history. For the history of my music history. And I remember playing there, though, and it really affected me in a positive way because you are on such a great stage. And not only that, the people who work there are fantastic. And that sound system is great. Perfect. I remember when I was playing there in, I think it was like 2010, they had just installed this $50,000 sound system for the Cubby Bear. So when you're going there, you're seeing some really professional equipment. So that must be such a boost from a band that's starting up to get that kind of crowd, and then not only that, but play with the right kind of equipment. So how important is that for a band?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, you want your music to translate to the audience as intended through you. Obviously, when we're on stage, we're hearing the monitors, but it's important that everybody get the full scope of what we're doing. I mean, we're a three-piece, so it's not like we have a whole bunch going on, but it's, you know,
it's important.
It's very important, yeah.
And it's, no, were you going to say something?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, because that's also a place where Dave Grohl saw some of his first music that he ever was inspired by. So
really?
Yeah, there. I think he saw Naked Raygun there years and years ago. So just Chicago in general has so much great music potential, great music venues. Noah, my friend, what are some of your favorite venues to go see shows at here in Chicago? What's like, and on top of that, what's a good venue that you're shooting up to play at one day yourself?
I always wanted to play the House of Blues, and
yeah,
we did.
Rejected off the list.
Yeah, that was like
bucket list.
Insane. Like I was like ready.
All right, well then, never mind. He's already done it all. Yeah. Fine.
just give up.
Let me tell you about my story then. No. Okay, cool.
House of Blues has a great history. Naked Little Fox or whatever Mike's band was played there one time. That's its great history.
First gig.
Yeah, it's right out the gate.
So okay, so you like the House of Blues? You're able to play there. It's some of the greatest names of all time have played there. How about just to see a show on a weekday?
Where did we go the other day?
It's a great segment. Great radio.
Black Pistol Fire.
Okay.
Bottom Lounge.
Bottom Lounge. Yeah, that's cool.
Well, we never played there, too. That'd be awesome.
Would you guys ever play Empty Bottle over in the West Side?
Yeah, that's a great venue.
Yeah. I only say that because it's only 2 blocks from my apartment, so that's about the best chance you're going to get me out on a night. If it's really close to where I live, guys.
Okay.
Just do it for my sake. It's got a great history there.
Yes.
Fox Hearts played there.
Fox.
Whatever it was.
They just celebrated their 25th year, too.
How long? Cool. Mm-hmm. How long did your band play for, Mike, by the way?
We played for about, let's say, 4 years, 2 years consecutively.
We
played every single weekend. Yeah. And we actually played at a bar called Lucky Number here in Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah. It's defunct now. I think it's a lawyer office.
Shut it down.
We shut it down. And we also, you know, we also used to play open mics at Borders Books, and also brought that thing down. Yes, before it got
you brought down Borders Books.
they
were doing fine.
Naked Fox came on stage.
That's pretty incredible.
Part of the
kiss of death for any venue. We just get Naked Fox in there.
Let's just say, if anybody looks it up, it's not Naked. It's a Heart of the Fox. Thank you, guys. But you know what? That's another thing. So that name came from a water tower that I saw when I was growing up in the city of McHenry. Where did the name Dark Heart News come from? It's very interesting.
That's a good one.
It's from, there's a hip-hop artist called Aesop Rock.
Yeah.
And he, lyrically, is absolutely amazing, and I draw a lot of inspiration from him. And so one of the songs he has is called Dark Heart News, and that just struck me as like, it felt like it was a different way to, a different interpretation of like saying the blues, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like stories of like somebody that's going through rough times. So that's pretty much where we got it from.
That's awesome. And that's what I love about blues music is just that you feel it in your soul, and unless you've been hurt, you don't understand it unless mm-hmm. you've like really been through some stuff I can't say on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But like really, and I think that's the big difference, and I think that for some people that don't like get or appreciate blues, I'm like, well, maybe you haven't just been hurt enough to really understand what it's speaking to you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'll see some good blues, too. Like, I used to work a long time ago. I used to work the door at Buddy Guy's Legends.
Wow.
God. That is like blues school, like blues college.
Yes.
Just everybody you could think of came through there, and I saw a play, and it was just like every night was an experience.
Wow. So who are some of your legendary artists that you look up to?
Buddy Guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stevie Ray, but he's, you know, no mm-hmm. longer with us. Muddy Waters.
Yeah.
Howlin' Wolf, a lot of Chicago guys.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Man, how about you? How about you, Noah?
Like my favorite like bassist of all time is Flea.
Yes.
I love Paul McCartney. Liz Claypool.
Yeah.
I love the Beatles, Pink Floyd.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I wasn't into the blues that much when I first started, but now I really love the blues and
everything we do it's not just straight blues. That was probably our only really straight blues song that we did before, but a lot of it is incorporated.
You could feel that funk in there, though, too. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Do we have time for a song before the news, or do we want to do it after the news?
So let's do it after the news, because we're coming up on about 40 seconds, so we need to hit the break.
No.
Unless you guys got a really quick song.
Quick one in 20 seconds.
Maybe you guys can just freestyle for a bit.
You guys bang out a jingle?
Yeah. Really quickly. Do the Luna commercial in... Yeah, you guys are from Chicago area, you know.
Take it away, John.
No, I took it down. 720 WGN, Patty Vasquez out, Mike Heidemann and myself, John Hansen, in, joined by Nick and Noah from Dark Heart News. And you guys, Nick, you're wearing the Santa hat. You're ready to go. You excited for the holiday? You guys doing anything fun?
Yeah, I'm going to
We're going to get all together.
You're in the festive mood. You're getting together, yeah?
Yeah. New Year's Eve is the big, you know, big get-together. So
that's the big one?
That's the big one.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans? Have you ever heard of Trader Todd's?
Yes. Trader Joe's.
Oh.
I don't know Trader Todd's.
That'd be a wild party at Trader Joe's for the new year. Eat a bunch of Kraft artisanal cheeses and just...
get that kimchi on blast. How about you, Noah? What do you got going on for Christmas?
I'm kind of like... family dinner and then open the presents.
Okay, cool.
Well, pretty basic stuff there. That's what Christmas is.
Party after that.
Yeah, a little party after that. Cool.
Right on. So you know, actually, Nick, you have a little one at home. You're a dad.
I do. Really? Yeah.
And you have a big event coming up for to celebrate Christmas, I guess.
Well, you know, it's in January. His birthday is on January 23rd. But we're going to go out to California. And what is it, Disneyland?
Disneyland.
So his birthday will be in Disneyland.
That's really cool.
He's going to, like...
His fourth birthday.
Right. So if I'm four, that would blow my mind.
Yes. No, that absolutely would. Especially if you yell at him that loudly about it.
Always. That's the level I...
Well, no, that's interesting. What's it like being a musician? I mean, the trials and tribulations of that, the difficulty of practicing, trying to find time to do this, and also being a dad. Is it really cool? Is it...
Yeah. Up until, you know, really recently, I was working, and my wife was working, and, you know, it was tough juggling.
Yeah.
But now I stay at home with them, and they school them, I teach them, and it's been great, man. I teach him drums. We got him a little drum set.
Oh, that's
awesome. He holds it down. Sometimes we just jam. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, wait, I gotta get my coffee and everything. He's like, Dad, it's time to jam.
What?
I'm like, dude, it's like 9. I mean, it's 9 in the morning.
And you guys are playing songs together.
Yeah.
So cool.
Like, we'll do some White Stripes and, you know, some different stuff. Chili Peppers he loves. Oh, yeah.
What's that like? I mean, that just must be mind-blowing.
It really is, because I didn't even, like, it's not like I pushed drums on him or anything. He would just start banging on everything. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just get him a drum set and see what happens.
Right.
Next thing you know, he's in his diaper just down there, just going at it.
By the way, I'm sure you've gotten this a lot.
I think Jack Black.
Does you get that a lot?
I get that
all the time.
Like, yeah, every time I go in public.
Every time you leave the house.
Every time.
Has anyone ever actually thought you were Jack Black?
No, because I think I'm a little taller than...
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've seen you kind of sitting hunched over. So maybe if I saw you stand up, that I'd know for sure. Because it's your mannerisms. I mean, the look is kind of there, but it's more the mannerisms.
I
know. Do you draw inspiration from Jack Black in your life?
I do.
Really?
Musically.
Yeah.
Tenacious D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You will like Jack Black on the Tenacious D albums. Like those solos that you played in that last song were just... It was very Tenacious D-esque.
Right. Yeah.
It was like we're getting our own show with Jack Black.
And your kid was inspired by School of Rock, apparently, as kids playing that stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, actually, we do watch that quite often.
It's such really? Good, I love that.
And he's like, oh, Daddy.
Yeah, does your own son confuse you for Jack Black?
Well, you guys rock. We can't thank you enough for coming here on WGN. I think that the listeners are clamoring for another song. Would that be okay with you guys?
Absolutely.
All right.
If you said no, that would have been awesome. I should have been like, all right, never mind.
So rock and roll.
Just throw the guitar.
What are we about to hear?
This is called Say Grace.
All right, right on. Take it away, guys.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
Come on, man.
I love that. Can you do a little of the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun? Man.
Ooh.
It's like a mystery in that I really like.
Does that sound, that chord, what you just played, play it again, please.
Yeah, one more time. The newsman wants to hear. That's, no.
No, no, no. The whole thing.
Do the whole song from the top again. Roger wants to hear it.
No. It's that chord. That sounds like a song from, I'm talking back in the 70s.
So Roger's accusing you of ripping a song off from the 70s. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it really does. That.
No, it's got, there's like a familiarness
and
to it.
And it's played on guitar. And, I will think of it, but I'll, seriously.
That sounded so good, though. That was awesome.
Yeah.
What's the inspiration behind that one?
That was right after those Paris attacks happened a while ago.
Really?
Yeah, and then we, just wrote the lyrics.
That was awesome.
Kind of about that and how, it's, well, a lot of people just think it's safer to stay inside and,
Wow. That was really beautiful.
Say Grace. So if you want to check that out, with Dark Art News, sorry about that, clearing my throat and microphone.
That happens.
But that was a great song. The chorus carries so well in that, guys. So when you're writing these songs, what comes first? Are you guys putting together, I got this little tidbit of a chorus, and then you just kind of build the song around that? Or what comes first? Lyrics? Melody?
It's always different. So that song, we, like, Noah and I had just gotten together, and we didn't even have a drummer, and we were just kind of jammed for hours. And then we just kind of fell into a groove, and they were like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then we kind of work it out. But it depends. I always carry my phone with me, so they have that little recording app. You could always, you just press it, and if you got an idea, you're walking around a Target, you just hum it into the phone. And,
right.
Yeah.
Man, I go to Target for everything. I didn't know. Inspiring ideas. See, that's what I've been doing wrong. I've been trying to be an artist, a stand-up comedian. I need to go to Target and really listen and really feel it.
Avoid that Cheez-It aisle and hit right to the brain, man.
Here's the thing about Target. I know this is a diatribe we're going on here. Target is it's a life suck. What happens is, so I went there once. You go there, you buy a bazillion things that you don't need, or you don't need. You go there for one thing. I once went there because it was right after work, and I needed a red pepper, and they have groceries now, so the Target. It's right by where I work.
Wow.
So I went there for a red pepper, and I came home with a Roomba. Like, literally. Like, wow. I cannot even believe. I, like, came home in the door, I'm like, what the heck? I forgot the red pepper.
But how good was that deal?
No, I ended up taking it back because that was way too much money for something you can do with a broom. Guys, I took 3 Instagram stories. That's pretty good. That's when we really like what we got going on here. But that's Nick and Noah from Dark Heart News. Again, where's the next time people can see you live? Do you have it off the top of your head?
Yep. Next Friday, we'll be at Cubby Bear.
At the Cubby Bear. That's easy. Cubby Bear. Next Friday, party night. What time?
I think the doors are at, I believe it's 8. The doors are at 8, but the music's going all night, and we're
having a good old time.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see this.
Yeah, right. I got to see you guys.
Do you want to go, Mike?
Absolutely.
Okay, that'd be really fun. I would definitely go.
And just to say, we're not really an acoustic couple of fellas. We get into the fuzz and heavy kind of stuff, but...
That's awesome. But here for the show, the limited, you wanted to do the acoustic. It was perfect. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Great job, guys. And I did think of the song that it reminded me of.
Okay. Yeah. What is that?
Ready?
Yeah. Okay. I could hear that a little bit. Yeah. What is that?
This is Santa Mambo.
The Yes. Nope. Yep. What Roundabout by Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Do you see the similarities? Why I thought?
I do. It's probably in the same, around the same key.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
All right. Roger, nice job there.
Yeah. Right.
Cueing up some music, too.
Because I'm old.
Right. No, exactly. That's a given.
Well, guys, this has been too much fun. Way too much fun. We're going to be at the show at the Cubby Bear on the 29th. You can check out their music. Temporary Living is the CD. It came out last June. Go and check them out at 8 p.m. again on the 29th.
I'm going to be there, guys. Thanks so much, all right?
Thank you, fellas.
Have a good one. Have a good holiday, too. Darlene Love version, by the way.
Mariah Carey.
That's Mariah Carey, yeah. I love this song, though.
This is one of my favorite songs of all time. It's so good.
The Darlene Love one. Am I saying her name right?
Yes.
So she, have you seen 20 Feet from Stardom?
No.
It's amazing. The Oscar-nominated documentary about backup singers. They talk about Darlene Love and her, I forgot which group she was a part of. early in the 60s. She wrote a lot of songs, but the record company screwed her over. Shocker, shocker. Mm-hmm. And she, at one point, was cleaning toilets. She was scrubbing toilets, and she heard her own music on the radio, and it inspired her. She heard that song, her, the song of her recording that thing, and inspired her to get back into music and change her life around again.
The Crystals.
The Crystals, that's what it was. And then she went, she did Letterman, and Letterman had her on every single Christmas. And she's amazing.
There is a video on YouTube, I saw it last year, of the song, straight through, but all of her appearances.
Wow.
Of her singing the song.
Mm-hmm. So in a row?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. All right.
Great.
Well, I don't mean to rush it along, but you are we doing this game?
So I don't have a script yet.
Well, we don't have to do it.
Which one are we doing?
Did you get a script for the...
I've got the long script, and I got a short script.
Yeah, I don't know.
Two different ones. I've got the...
You want to do the short one really quick?
You do the short one?
Let's do the short one.
Let's do the short one, because we're short on time. One.
Yes.
All right.
Do you want me to be the...
Yes. And then I will be...
The second one?
Mike will be the second one.
All right.
And then I'll play both of the other parts.
Okay.
And I'll do it in different voices. So, Mike, you want to... How do people... They just got to call in, right? To figure out what we're doing. This is a short scene, abbreviated.
Abbreviated scene for what's that from? I think, we'll do that.
Yeah, let's just do the short one.
And I'm looking forward to it. I love Christmas. I love Christmas movies, and this is one I haven't seen before.
Oh.
The what?
I saw it tonight is how recently I've seen it. All right, so we're giving out too much away. So if you know it, 312-981-7200, here, Mike wants me to tell him what he's doing.
I don't know which part I am. I haven't seen the movie. Two, I don't know what part I am.
All right, you're going to do two parts. All right, here you go.
Okay,
thank you. Got two lines. All right, Roger, you ready to get started?
I'm ready.
Call in if you know it. Okay, go ahead.
Here we go. Who in the blazes applied that emergency brake?
Mike, this is you.
He did. I was giving it some time for dramatic effect, John.
You... In case you didn't know, that cord's for emergency purposes only. And in case you weren't aware, tonight's Christmas Eve. And in case you hadn't noticed, this train is on a very tight schedule now, young man. Christmas may not be important to some people, but it is very important to the rest of us.
He was just trying to stop the train so that kid could get on.
I see. Young man, is that what happened?
He nods.
Well, let me remind you, we're on a very tight schedule. I've never been late before, and I'm certainly not going to be late tonight. Now, everybody, take your seats, please.
We sit down.
Thank you.
And that's the scene.
Whoa, baby.
Come on, people got to know that one. It's a train, and it's a Christmas movie.
Whoa, 312. John.
What was he said he talked about the train.
No, that is the... There
312-981-7200. What do they win? Do they win anything? Nothing?
You know what they were going to give them? We're going to give them a very Merry Christmas.
You just gave me the emergency don't say anything. It's okay. You can say they don't win anything. I just freaked you out by throwing you in the
buzzer. I was about to hit the panic button, in fact.
Yeah, why? Who cares?
I don't care.
No what? Prize. We don't have any prize list tonight?
You know what? We have our producer, but she's a little bit busy on the phone.
Getting the phones.
We got people calling in.
People calling in to win nothing. So, but we still want an answer. Let us know.
Wait, so
it's a movie with a train.
Yeah.
At Christmas.
At Christmas. And somebody grumpy
going to the North Pole. Yeah. There's a bell involved.
They sit down.
It's cold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
For the North Pole. It's express train.
John, yeah, because the train's never late. You know that.
Don't make me break this out again. That's what you get.
You wanted to do Elf, for God's sake.
I would have loved to get Elf.
We did Elf.
Oh, we did?
We did it about three... I think we did
three
it the weekend
ago?
You weren't...
I think we have people that have the answer.
We did it the weekend you weren't here.
Yes, we do. Let's get to our answers real fast. We got Mark on the line. What's going on, Mark? Do you have an answer for us?
Not much. You guys did a good script there.
Yeah.
Like Tom Hanks' part, the Polar Express.
Yeah!
Oh, that is right.
See if Mike has the answer, too.
All right, Mike.
Mark, nice job.
There you go, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you need all my hints?
Oh, no.
soon as I heard Roger Bannister start talking, I thought, that's Tom Hanks there.
There it is. Roger is really good at this.
Roger.
He did it very well. He is a real Tom Hanks.
Roger. Yeah, I talked to Tom last night. Yeah.
Hey, Mark, do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
I like Polar Express, actually. I watch it every year.
Oh, it was on tonight, I saw. Or maybe that was just in my house. I don't really know. So
just in your heart.
Maybe just in my heart it was on.
Well, Mark,
I always hear the bell. So do you hear, Mark, do you hear the bell still or no?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Oh, I like that. There you go.
All right, Mark, before we let...
Why do you mean that whip sound effect so often?
It's not me.
The Bubala just walked in with a cake. I have no idea what's happening here. This show's falling off the rails.
Hey, Mark, for your prize, since we can't give you anything of value, we're going to give something of sentimental value. Why don't you say happy birthday, Merry Christmas to somebody in your family on air.
Only someone that's listening right now.
What?
They're all sleeping nicely.
Play the podcast later for them. So there you go. So it could be to anyone.
Give a shout out.
Merry Christmas to my lovely family, Donna, Nick, and Tony. Merry Christmas.
That's very sweet.
That was great. That was awesome.
I like seem that. To be doing a little bit grudgingly, but I won't call it against him. All right. Thanks, Mark. Congratulations.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
You too.
He sounded like someone who didn't just win a Lou Malnati's pizza like he thought he was going to or something before I got the dump button for saying that there might be a prize.
Well, you know, maybe next year.
Maybe next year.
Next year. We got Matt Bubala in studio. What's going on,
Matt? What's up, guys?
Not too much. How are you doing?
Good. You guys going against the whole Patty, let's keep it dark in here theme, I see.
Yeah. Mike turned it up. Yeah, he also turned down the temperature in here, too. It's freezing.
Good thing you have a coat on, Matt.
That's some harsh lighting.
Yes.
Why do you turn the lights on so bright here, Mike? When I run the board,
yeah.
Mike took it over tonight.
Yeah.
The lights are low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I needed to be able to see.
Right.
Also, the board is very important for me. I didn't want to screw it up. And but, you know, it's been a great show. John, thank you so much for helping out.
For being here,
And being here. And
for not fighting him for the board.
For not fighting me for the board. I still both my hands.
Yeah. Hey, so are all the kids excited for Santa and all that stuff?
John, we finally reached the point where there's not that much excitement.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Wait, how old are the threes?
The triplets are 12.
Okay. So okay. Good run. You're right.
It's a really good run.
Yes.
It's been about 4 years going. All right.
Start using your brain here, kids. Let's figure this one out.
Now it's very sad. It's very sad because it's passage. You're never going back. All that stuff. However, not hiding that. Mike and Elf has been awesome.
Yeah, I bet.
Although we decided, all right, we're gonna have a new tradition. What we're gonna do is, the six of us will divide up into teams, and we're all gonna hide the elf every day, and like it's a challenge.
Okay.
Elf has still not made an appearance.
Really? Has it been hidden too well, or just no one?
No, it just hasn't gotten out of the damn bug.
Because that's the best way to do
everything.
The first day, because all these parents complain about this thing. Mm-hmm. Just what I would do if I had children, when I have children, I will just light a fire in the first night and throw the elf straight in it and be like, that's
in
where the elf's
hiding.
Yes. That's where the elf's hiding tonight. Yeah. Yes. If you ever ask for this elf again, just remember what happened to old Bernie the elf in the in the flames.
You'll be next.
Well, I'd be
he has too much control over us. We end this now! And then you got to have, like, recorded sound effects. So, like, when he goes in, it's...
I make all these dramatic claims of what I'll do when I'm a parent, but I think you soon find out that none of this works.
Yeah.
I know all my kids are going to eat all their vegetables and fruits and all that stuff, and it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And I say that,
it's
and
be
then
awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for you.
Oh, that'll be fun. Hey, you have a fun show today?
It will be fun because we'll make it fun.
Right.
Because that's what
you
we do. Once we turn the lights down. But we have some. It's very interesting. David Soucy is the author of Why Planes Crash. He's an accident investigator. He's going to talk to us a little bit about the Amtrak crash in Washington, why you have to be careful if you get a drone for Christmas.
Okay.
And he'll give us an update on MH370, which has been missing for like 18 years now. Right?
Well, it feels like that.
It's been over 2 years, I think.
Yeah. Because, right? Two and a half, almost 3 years now. Because I think
in like
March. Yeah. I'm actually obsessed with disaster NTSB reports.
Oh, are you really?
Oh, I go down the rabbit hole of Wikipedia, read every plane crash report. I don't know why. And then I get on a plane and I'm like, oh, crud. Listen to.
The Weather Channel has a great show, Why Planes Go Down.
Yeah, I've watched
it's
almost
really
all of them. Yes.
Yeah.
I will go home tonight and probably watch a plane crash talk. I know it's a really weird thing, but I'm.
I totally get it.
And I know it's totally safe. I know air travel is great, and you know, and it's getting safer. You know, and it continues to get safer. But I find that stuff fascinating. Well, just why it happens.
I think the fascination with it, I've always thought that that at some point in my life I'm going to see a plane
go down
as I'm traveling back and forth, and I think the fascination with it is because you have no control over
nothing.
You're just sitting there.
That's the scariest part about it.
I hope this works out.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do.
And it's always fascinating because, and this just speaks to how safe airline travel usually is, that when a plane goes down or when we have the accident, even with the train, it's usually not one thing. It's a series of things that have to go wrong in order for it to happen.
Have you read Malcolm Gladwell's, not the first book, there was one, I'll have to bring it in for you.
Okay.
He does a whole section on plane crashes and how at least three things go wrong. It's either weather, inexperienced crew, but it's all these things together.
Right.
And they have these very interesting stories about some different crashes.
So it's interesting. It's like a fascinating exercise to piece together exactly how it happens. Now, it's obviously all terrible circumstances and usually ends up in real bad shape, but it is an interesting subject. So I'll be listening is all I'm saying.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
Normally, I don't. Normally, yeah, I say I'm going down. I'm like, bye.
I see you posting on Facebook 10 minutes later. We're at Postbar. It's the greatest.
Yeah. That is so true. That is very true.
And I don't think they play Gian at Boss Bar.
No, they don't. They don't. Yeah. Mike, can we get them to do that?
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll get them out there. It's funny to me that it's the Christmas year and we just do Polar Express and you're like, you know what I'm going to do? Really ring in a good old Santa sleigh. Watch a plane crash documentary. I think that's the way to go.
Hey,
Mike's sitting here going, I cannot believe that Patty's not here and we're still going to talk to 210 before we get to the news. How is this possible?
Let's break down all the plane crashes.
But then real quick, then after 3 o'clock, Jason Steffen is he's a rocket scientist. He's one of those guys. He works on the Kepler mission. They find exoplanets, habitable planets.
Wow.
In other, you know.
What is the exo mission? Is that our mission to get the heck on out of here?
No, Kepler searches for exoplanets. So planets outside of our solar system, around other suns. And they found, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. So he's going to come on to update us on that. And also, all this craziness this week with these UFO things that were released that the government had the secret program and stuff like that.
That's cool.
Tell him about the search for intelligent life.
So holiday themed, the whole thing.
Absolutely. All the way through. Hell yeah.
That's really cool stuff. Mike, good job tonight.
Thank you, John. Good job to you.
Who are you texting right now?
I'm actually texting Patty Vasquez.
Oh, just to let her know how terrible we did.
Does she want to call in on the cross? For it?
I think she was trying to call in during our Polar Express try. But hey to Patty, thank you so much for letting us fill in for you tonight. Hope we did you proud, and Merry Christmas to you all. Matt, John, Merry Christmas,
Mike.
Guys.
You too, Mike. All right, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It's 204. That's got to be a record. We're going up to Roger Vanish with the news.
And Michael and Jonathan, check your Facebooks, you have a Jib Jab Christmas card for me.
I saw the notification come in. I knew it had
to
be a Jib Jab.
Very welcome.
Enjoy. You are the quintessential old man on Facebook, I gotta say. like the Jib Jab is the new thing, and Roger discovered it, and how many Jib Jabs have you posted? Do you get like a frequent Jib Jab discount or something?
Yeah, I do. Card? I've got a gold membership.
How many punches do you have on that thing? My God, you're the only thing keeping Jib Jab going. They've been trying to shut it down for years, but Roger just keeps on Jib Jabbing. That's where they get all their advertising dollars.